much about.
You got to put it in perspective.
All right, Steve, this is your time. It's your time to shine. Now I want you to go in there, and when they give you the signal, hit it. All right? Hit it like you never hit it before. Now get in there!
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G. Ah!
Can't get rid of me, you know? I'm like a disease that just won't go away, you know? Like herpes or something. I don't know if I want to be associated with herpes, but, you know, it's treatable nowadays, so it's not a big deal, right?
Okay. Oh, my God. Stop talking. Okay?
And what's a haiku?
757.
575?
575.
Okay. I'm all about respecting the balls.
I don't understand a goddamn thing anymore.
I'm sorry.
Good morning!
I don't know what that is, but no.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
What is kale? Is that fish?
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Why not, B? This is America.
Roll another one.
Balls.
Just like the other one.
Will Brenda be there?
This one seems to be about to quit.
I don't like mosquitoes.
And I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
Sometimes it gets real.
Roll. Roll another one. Just like the other one.
That is nice.
Gimme. I don't have
that song is so awesome and catchy. My buddy Randy, that's his favorite song.
Think about your thoughts before you say them.
Just pass it around.
Don't hate the player, hate the game.
But don't bone guard that joint, my friend.
Balls.
I just pass it on down.
And now.
Captain Bringdown and the Buzzkillers.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Friday morning. It is the 5th of August.
Friday, you guys, right?
Right.
Feels like it.
What do you mean, feels like it?
Feels like a Friday.
Well, it is a Friday.
Right.
Is it news if it feels like a Friday?
I'm only saying if it wasn't a Friday, we'd be in a lot of trouble.
Yes, that is what I'm saying.
I see. Speaking of Allie.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Did you get some... Get some sleep, get back on track a little bit, adjust your meds, whatever you had to do.
You needed to do yesterday?
I did.
Get back on your meds?
Allie was a mess.
It wasn't good.
Even she said.
It wasn't good.
What happened?
Yeah.
Yeah. I had a really bad headache, but it wasn't a migraine, so I didn't quite know how to deal with it. I couldn't take my migraine medicine, but Tylenol wasn't working. Then words were even harder than usual, and then the words I was using were super inappropriate.
Well, yeah.
And,
yeah, you had a little bit of the Tourette's yesterday. Yeah. I don't know what was going on with you. But
I was
you
a little
not,
snappy, too.
Could
I don't
not
know if
stop,
you noticed.
Stop your mouth. No way. We all noticed. Believe me. don't think we didn't spend the rest of the day weeping. So you said you were going to go home and you're really going to take it easy and you're going to feel refreshed today.
Yeah.
Do you?
Yeah.
All right.
Oh,
good. All right.
Back off.
Well, maybe not. Okay.
Okay.
All right.
maybe another day. Hey, I know everybody's all about the Olympics that are the opening ceremony is today. And then it's just nonstop for how long do they run? I haven't even heard. They're
two,
usually
3 years.
I think it feels like it, but isn't it usually like 18 days or something?
Yeah, I think it's two, 3 weeks, yeah.
All right, so a lot of events. But what I didn't realize, and this seems like, you know how we always complain that the NBA and the NHL playoffs are at the same time and it's so stupid?
Yes.
Because it seems to extend both playoffs, and it's tough sometimes to watch them all, and you want them to spread them out a little bit. Right? Well, the Olympics are going on at the same time, I just found out, as the World Yo-Yo Competition.
Oh, no.
What? The World Yo-Yo Contest has been held annually since 1992. This year, it is at the Renaissance Hotel in Cleveland, Ohio, with more than 1,000 yo-yo players, as they're called, from more than 30 countries around the world have come together to watch the best of the best compete across 7 divisions. This started on Wednesday.
Oh, wow.
And goes through Saturday. It's been completely lost in the shuffle of all the lead up to the Olympics.
It's been lost
it?
In the shuffle in everything because I've never heard of it before.
Since 92.
And 1992.
Part of me wants to be as far away from that hotel as I can, but most of me wants to be there.
Absolutely.
Because what are those people like? I mean, they are competitive yo-yoers.
What are the people that are going to watch like?
Or are they yo-yoists? I don't know.
That's a great question.
And do they have yo-yo groupies?
Yeah, they do.
Right?
See, we have a lot of questions.
I'll walk your dog, right?
I'll rock your cradle.
I wonder if we could get, I mean, it'll be too late for them to promote the event, but I wonder if we could get somebody on.
Oh, don't be ridiculous.
From the How yo-yo would we ever... contest on Monday.
They're probably so busy, you know?
Here's a recap of day one. There were wild card rounds with a handful of yo-yos doing a yo-yo slam. That's where everyone gets about 30 seconds to work through short performances set to techno and pop music. By the way, there is a yo-yo live stream of the competition.
Yes.
Oh. Please tweet that link.
At one point, the competition's host on Wednesday had to remind the crowd to please try not to yo-yo around normal people because it scares them.
What?
Do not block any exits. Be sure to pick up your yo-yo strings when you're finished using them. We don't live like a bunch of savages, is
right?
What he said. I went to the website for the yo-yo competition to see what some of the rules were. And I was amazed at how detailed they are. And I guess they have to be because you don't want any kind of scandal to taint the, the yo-yo competition. You know, you got, again, from countries
you don't
all
want
over the world.
Any taint involved in your yo-yo?
No. Here's from the contestant code of conduct, for instance. This is for the freestyle competition, which is one of the 7 categories.
Code of conduct, all right.
All contestants must conduct their freestyle with the safety of the audience, the venue, the equipment, and themselves in mind. Mm. What kind of yo-yo tricks could possibly be done that would put the audience at risk? Throwing yo-yos into the crowd, maybe, is the only thing I can think of?
I can't imagine.
Well, what about string length? Maybe some have longer strings so it could reach the audience?
Oh, I see. Maybe.
Contestants performing in an unsafe manner may be disqualified at the discretion of the judges. Can you imagine if you went all the way to Cleveland?
What an outrage.
And then you got disqualified. Can you imagine the shame you would face when you went back home? Imagine facing your friends and family when they go, hey, you went to Cleveland to yo-yo. How'd it go? And you're like,
right. Canceled parades.
I got news for you. You already lost when they asked that question. You went to Cleveland to yo-yo.
Unfortunately, your family will have moved out of the home that you thought you lived in by the time you get back. The head judge also reserves the right to immediately disqualify a contestant who behaves or speaks in an inappropriate manner on stage. Wow. Doesn't it just seem like people who choose to yo-yo professionally are not the people whose potty mouths you have to worry about, I would think.
I would guess so, yeah.
But
there's probably the bad boy of yo-yo.
I bet.
So they probably had to put a lot of these rules in for him.
This includes uttering obscenities, such as the F word, it is spelled out in the rules, wearing inappropriate or obscene clothing, any acts of public indecency, blah, 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 blah. For the sake of
safety... I'm going to take down my pants, look at my yo-yo. You know somebody's doing that.
For the sake of safety and fairness, contestants are not allowed to leave the stage during freestyle. If a contestant leaves the stage, that moment will be considered the end of the performance. This includes leaving the stage to pick up a yo-yo that has fallen from the stage.
Oh, no.
So if you drop or lose control of your yo-yo, you're out.
You're done.
Wow. Imagine
losing control of your yo-yo.
This is intense.
Due to the potential hazard of falling off the stage, sitting or standing over the edge of the stage is prohibited, subject to disqualification. During a freestyle, only the contestant is allowed on stage. Assistants to the contestants are prohibited during the performance.
Wait. There's an assistant?
Apparently, if you have an assistant, he or she is not allowed on stage.
Wow.
Disturbing contestants through shouting, taunting, or other inappropriate actions before, during, or after the freestyle is strictly prohibited. Imagine if you're a yo-yo heckler.
I can't. What's worse? Okay, being a yo-yoer, someone that a yo-yoist, someone that watches yo-yo, like a yo-yo fanatic,
right?
Mm-hmm. A yo-yo assistant,
okay,
or a yo-yo heckler. What is the worst?
Well, I think the best is yo-yo heckler.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Okay,
you would,
so
yes.
That's eliminated from the worst list.
I think a yo-yo assistant would be the worst. Yeah. That's got to be the lowest
ladder. No.
Because you're not even the guy who yo-yos.
Yeah, but you're performing. There are people in the audience. If you're not directly related family to the person on the stage with the yo-yo,
you have no reason to be
you're
there.
You're a loser.
Okay.
Because you're watching people yo-yo.
Look, I could go on all day. I know we're out of time.
I would like you to.
Just let me give you a couple more sentences from the yo-yo rules. Strings used must be string for the exclusive use of yo-yoing. So does that mean at some point somebody tried to jack the system by using a different kind, like using dental floss or using something else that wasn't yo-yo string to get a competitive advantage, do you think?
Remember when those yo-yos came out that had the, like, recoil?
Like a rubber?
Yo-yos came out where instead of you would actually have to have it go back up the string, it went back up itself.
Oh,
I wonder if that was a problem.
Those have to be disqualified, I would imagine. Because then you're not doing the trick.
Cheaters.
Yeah.
Strings used must be string for the exclusive use of yo-yoing. In the case of styles that require special strings, such as Go West, long string, transparent string, etc., all terms I have no idea what they mean, it may be used only with the prior consultation, safety confirmation, and permission from the judges. And it just goes on. I'm telling you guys, there's like 40 pages of yo-yo rules before you get up on that stage.
You know how you always say if there's that many rules, there must have been people who did that stuff.
Absolutely.
So they had to make these. I don't feel like that's the truth with
you.
Really? No, I feel like they just got together.
You brought up the bad boy of yo-yoing.
Yeah, sure.
So
what about the bad boy of yo-yoing?
You can't do all that.
I don't know.
How many pages be?
It's like 40.
40 pages of rules. Come on.
The contestant is only allowed to bring yo-yo strings, counterweights, gloves, or equivalent items. Who's wearing gloves to yo-yo? Is that a strategy?
Love it so much.
Props are prohibited. You can't bring up bags, cases, cloth, jackets, extra clothing other than what you're already wearing. You can't bring a table. It just goes on and on.
Wow.
So anyway, I will tweet out the link for the live stream because
we need some highlights on Monday too.
I do feel like we are going to be very busy trying to toggle back and forth between the Olympics and the yo-yo event that's going on in Cleveland. This is the 1A through 5A championship divisions. There's a women's division. There's an over 40 division. What about those people? What about the over 40s?
Oh. You're 55 years old in a yo-yo competition.
In Cleveland.
I used to be great at yo-yos.
Really?
Yes, and then I realized this is a yo-yo, so it doesn't matter.
I don't know why you're bragging about it instead of getting on a plane to Cleveland.
I didn't realize that I could have done something with that. That could have been my career.
Could have been a contender.
Oh, what a bummer. I should pick it back up. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Yo-yo joke?
I'm so excited. I'm so excited. I'm so excited.
I'm so scared.
We're going to talk to Steve Mason from Rio about the Olympics today.
Wow.
We are going to give you a brand new internet roundup. We have Julie Klausner talking about Difficult People, which is a Hulu series. We have the movie beat because it's Friday. We are going to tell you, we're going to have Jensen Karp on, our rap beef correspondent.
Yeah.
He's going to be on. He's going to tell us about Eminem and Drake. What's going down?
Did you get the impression from Jensen's social media yesterday that he's holding a grudge against Eminem?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So, sounds like he's already chosen.
Yeah. Well, he's wrong.
We have Mila Kunis on the show today.
Oh, dear.
Right? Right. Also today, we're going to get your suggestions for sports that you would want to see in the Olympics. Because there are a lot of sports, let's be honest, there are a lot of sports yo-yo. That suck. Yo-yo would be great.
Yes. I'm now in.
Mine is dodgeball. If there was literally just country versus country in dodgeball, that would be the best thing ever.
Yes.
Yesterday, I saw and put something on Instagram. It's head pong. They played ping pong with a little round ball and they had to head it.
Yeah, it was amazing.
It was fantastic.
I watched that for far too long.
You would watch that
in
the Olympics. So we're going to get your suggestions for that. And we've got your tickets for Radiohead at the Shrine. We got another game for you that's coming up this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5 minutes till 6.
By the way, how about this today on the Kevin and Bean Show and all weekend long here on K-Rock? Disneyland Resort Deluxe Annual Passes or Park Hopper Passes. That's for Disneyland and Disney's California Adventure Parks. That's a pretty good deal right there. happiest place on earth, you know.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That's what I've heard.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, you can go to KROQ.com for all the information and another chance to win, but we have them for you coming up next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, Allie's in for Ralph with the Showbiz Beat on a Friday.
So Olympics kick off this weekend. We've got the opening ceremonies tonight.
Yep.
You guys watching? We talked about it yesterday. Sometimes you're like, oh, I don't know. Then you get sucked in.
I love it.
You do.
I don't get sucked in to the opening ceremonies. Mm-hmm. They are terrible.
They're terrible.
Yes.
I love them for the same reason you hate them. They're terrible.
They're terrible.
They try really hard
and they're
to...
they're like 5 hours long.
They're yes. way too long, yeah.
Because you're really, most of the time, two and a half, three hours of it, mm-hmm. you're just watching people in suits walk.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
Just introducing all the teams.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So, maybe not so much?
What was the question? Are we
going to
watch it?
Are you going to watch it?
I'm a yes, Bean's a no.
I'm a not so much.
Well, here's the thing. You record it.
You do?
Yeah, and that way when it gets dull, okay. you fast forward right through it.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, you can see the whole thing in 10 minutes.
Yeah, exactly.
I'd like to give you a little counter programming.
Okay.
In case you're just not into
it. Better involve yo-yoing.
Close? Not really, but how about the Kitten Summer Games?
Oh, go
on the
right
Hallmark
to hell.
Channel.
So this is like the Puppy Bowl at the
exactly.
Super Bowl halftime
exactly.
show. This is their counter programming.
Yes.
What are they going to make kittens do?
Well, I hope shot put.
Javelin.
Javelin.
You go to hell, you son of a bitch.
All right.
What's that one where they ski and then they shoot?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You're gonna what make, is that called?
You're going to make cats do that?
There's
that
nimble.
Gun. Shoot it.
Good stuff. Well, that is happening Friday. Then Saturday, if you missed it last week, Kevin... there's a Sharknado marathon for you, starting at 11 a.m. on Sci-Fi, running all four movies, finishing with Sharknado, The Fourth Awakens, beginning at 5 p.m.
I got to tell you, that's even the first three, which I love because uh-huh. they were terrible.
Right.
That's a one-time watch.
Okay.
I feel like I don't need to see that again ever.
All right.
Ever.
Okay.
So,
can I interest you in Sunday?
Okay. What do you got Sunday?
The Sci-Fi Channel presents... To Lava, To Lantula, a sequel to the original Lava Lantula movie from last year that Ralph starred in.
Making a note of that.
That Ralph died in.
Yeah, he did die a fiery death, right? Well, I'm assuming he died because he's not in this one.
Mm.
Yeah, he did die. He died violently.
He could have come back as a ghost
That's
or
what
something.
I'm saying. You don't know in the movies.
Right? I think he would have mentioned that, though.
Sure.
Don't you think?
Sure.
This time, it's set in Florida. A new nest of fire-spewing tarantulas is unleashed along with the biggest, baddest one of them all, Gargantulantula.
Poor Steve Guttenberg. Now he's got to deal with that.
I know. Well, he's got Michael Winslow back, so he's got him to fight with the whole time. Because remember last time it was only like halfway through he met up with Michael
right.
Winslow, so I think them together at the beginning is going to make a difference.
I
with
see,
the
okay.
Gargantulantula.
Gargantulantula. Well
yeah.
done.
Thank you.
Wow, so, you got to check it out.
Right, Rodney?
You really do. You know what? I'm just going to leave you with that.
Okay.
Because that's some counter-programming
All right.
for you. These stars are celebrating their birthday today. Athlete Lolo Jones is 34. Jesse Williams is turning 35. And Maureen McCormick, Marsha Brady, is 60 years old today. I'm Allie McKay, and for Ralph Garman, walking the showbiz beat.
The Mason and Ireland radio show on ESPN LA 710 has been one of the premier sports shows in town for a long, long time. But finally, Steve Mason said, I've had enough of that Ireland guy. I'm not only getting away from him, I'm getting away from the country. I'm moving to Rio de Janeiro, Brazil, and I'm going to live there for the rest of my life.
I don't think that happened.
Oh, I thought he was, I thought he defected or something.
No,
didn't he?
He's just down there covering stuff.
Oh, he's just covering the Olympics.
Yeah.
I see. I got you.
Yeah.
Steve Mason joins us on the phone from the country of Brazil right now. Hey, Steve, how are you, man?
Hey, morning, guys. What's up?
Great to talk to you. I heard you yesterday talking about Copacabana Beach and how beautiful it was and how you felt like you found your people. So are you or are you not coming back one day?
50-50. It's about, you know, if you worked with Ireland, you'd be 50-50 too.
How long?
It's really, really cool down here. It's fun, but I'm an American. I'm staying stateside.
Okay. You've covered a lot of Olympics in your career, haven't you, Steve?
Yeah, this is my sixth Olympics. I've done six of the last eight. I'm a junkie. I worship, as they say, the Church of the Olympics. So I take this stuff really, really seriously. And to me, there's nothing quite like, I feel like I'm at the world's biggest story, every 2 years. So mm-hmm. Yeah, I love the Olympics.
Tell us about when you were a kid. Did you watch the Olympics as a kid?
I started watching in 1976. I remember really cool, really, really well. There was a famous downhill race. A guy named Franz Klammer won the downhill in 1976. And since then, I've always wanted to go. I remember the L.A. Games of 84. And I've had to really angle to get here on some years. There are very few jobs. And this year was really tricky. There were many hijinks in order to get me here. Contractual stuff. I mean, it was hard, but I officially made it.
Okay, so here's my question then. So 40 years of being obsessed with the Olympics, and you've covered them for a long, long time. Have you ever seen worse press for a host city leading up to the games than we have seen for Rio de Janeiro this year?
Never, not even close. I mean, Athens, we always knew would be shaky. I was in Athens in 2004, and the Greeks have a reputation for being late on everything and kind of slow to the jump. Nothing compares to this. Between Zika and sewage flowing through the streets and worst economic recession in 100 years and safety and crime, not even close. By far, worst PR. I don't know who runs tourism, but they're not doing a very good job here.
Steve, I got to tell you, I was lucky enough to go to the World Cup 2 years ago in Brazil, and they sort of were able to keep everybody sort of all in a pack and away from all the bad stuff. Do you get the feeling that they can do that there, or no? It's just too many people, too many places.
Well, there are an awful lot of places here, but I think they're doing a pretty good job. The sad thing is, I mean, they've built up these gigantic walls between where we're going to be and where the favelas are. So the favelas are the slums. So there's like two worlds. One seventh of Brazilians, one in seventh, live in these terrible slums, which are gang ridden and all kinds of crime. And we're in the other. The other six of seven where everybody else lives, and it's pretty cleaned up, and they've swept away a lot of the terrible issues.
We are talking to Steve Mason here on the Kevin and Bean Show. He is a co-host of the Mason and Ireland radio program on ESPN LA 710. Allie, did you used to work at that station with Steve?
I didn't. I was one of the ones that worked there when Steve took a little break from Ireland.
Oh.
That's when I worked with Mr. Ireland and Steve. I don't know where you went, Steve, but wow, you got away for a couple of years. Good for you.
Yeah, I went to New York. I did mornings in New York City. Ireland and I had to take a break. People know how that works, right? You're in a relationship.
Sure.
And you say, let's take a break.
Yeah.
All right, Steve, there's an awful lot of information to take in with so many events going on, so much, you know, so many of them at the same time. And I know there's something like 11 channels on NBC that you can watch all this stuff, and they're live streaming so much. What are the things that you are most looking forward to in terms of athletics for the games this year?
Well, I mean, swimming is an obvious choice. The U.S. has got just a phenomenal swimming team. Michael Phelps has had an incredible career, and he's going to add a few more medals to this. I mean, he's not going to have anything like the Olympics he's had the last two runs, but he's got four events, and at the very least, I think he'll win gold in the 200-meter butterfly. He's already the most decorated Olympian in U.S. history, so that'll be incredibly cool. I'd love to be in, my plan is to be in the Aquatic Center when that actually happens. Katie Ledecky is another one who's probably going to have the best Olympics of any American athlete here. She is a swimmer in the 200, 400, 800 meter freestyle. She's a dynamic star. Ryan Lochte's still going to be here. And he is apparently he's grown up a little bit.
That's a no bummer. More on
but he's still dumb, right?
Channel.
He is not smart.
He got off the plane, and apparently his hair is already bleached blonde. So despite all the despite all the reports that he's grown up and, you know, he's an adult now, I still think he's a big, dumb, dumb kid.
Why do you think the swimmers in particular are dumb? Seems like that's true.
I think it's chlorine.
Yeah, I think it's being too isolated from the world because they're in the pool and underwater so much. They don't relate well with the rest of the world.
They're really smart around dolphins, though. They're just terrible with people.
No, and they can speak with dolphins.
Sure.
Wow.
IQ edge probably on them. The gymnastics, women's gymnastics, Simone Biles is the American who is arguably the greatest women's gymnast of all time. They're saying she's the Michael Jordan of gymnastics, that she's the single most dominant athlete in any sport in the world right now.
Wow.
Calling her the Michael Jordan of gymnasts. And Mary Lou Retton said yesterday that she is redefining the limits of what we thought a gymnast could do.
It's wow.
A shock to see her not win the gold medal in the all-around.
Track and field is going
to be a great showdown. Usain Bolt is obviously a huge star. He's looking to win his third consecutive gold medal in the 100, the 200, and the 4x100-meter relay. But Justin Gatlin of the U.S. has run the fastest 100-meter time of the year so far. So I think he could give Usain Bolt a run. That would be a huge upset if Gatlin were to beat Usain Bolt in the 100 meters.
Now, you've been to a lot of Olympics, and you just told us a bunch of highlights. There's got to be every Olympics something that just sucks. What is it?
Well, here, I can tell you, the accommodations are the worst I have ever... This may be the dumpiest place I have ever stayed in my entire life.
Wow, your life! Tell us about it. Describe it.
There is no hot water.
Oh, wow.
And the shower overflows, so it's kind of like the Daily Double. It's a really cold shower, and then afterwards, there is water everywhere. So that's I found two, and I'm calling them beetles. I don't want to use
the C word, right?
But I'm calling beetles that I found in my bed. Which,
yeah, the famous Brazilian beetles.
Really, sure. Oh, in your bed.
Yeah, the Brazilian beetles, exactly. and then the other thing is I'm really, the security is incredibly light. Like when I come to my media village at night, there's nobody checking credentials.
Well, that's what you want, Steve.
What?
That's ideal.
Oh, Steve, get out of there.
Anybody could walk in here. And the other night, some guy with a shaggy beard just wandered in. And I'm like, no, metal detect, please, my kingdom for a metal detect. But nothing.
That is good information to be putting out there, Steve.
Yeah, I know. I shouldn't be telling. But I'll tell you, the thing that scares me, though, isn't, you know, the crime is at Copacabana Beach, there are thousands of people. At Ipanema, thousands of people. At all the venues, thousands of people. The thing that worries me is, and the thing that worries me is the terrorism, because there are just, the security is light, the security is lax, and there are just an unbelievable number of what they would call soft targets.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, that's terrifying.
That's the one thing that scares me. The Zika, though, does not exist, contrary to what everybody says. It's winter. There are no mosquitoes. I brought all this bug spray, and it's going to go to waste. There are no mosquitoes.
Steve sounds pissed.
Yeah, Steve's angry.
Steve wanted Zika.
It's not a concern at all.
Well, maybe you can use them on the Brazilian beetles. Maybe use the spray there in your bed.
There you go. You know what? I have absolutely tried that.
All right. Well, listen, Steve, we're out of time, but it's great. We're fans of yours and your show, and it's great to finally have you on ours, especially here from Rio. It's a real treat for us. And you're going to be doing the Tonight in Rio show on ESPN LA 710. Every night we'll hear that live from 7 to 9 West Coast time, right?
Yep, that is right, and I've been a huge fan of you guys from day one, from the day I set foot in town, so it's cool to be on the show.
Well, if we don't all get in trouble for this interview, maybe we can do it again at the end of next week and catch up halfway through, okay?
Anytime, man. You guys just call.
Thanks, Steve. Bye-bye. Writer, comedian, actress Julie Klausner joins us at 7 o'clock this morning on The Kevin Bean Show. Then we got the movie beat because it's Friday, and Jensen Karp, our rap beef correspondent, is going to be here to discuss what's going down between Eminem and Drake. So it's a pretty good hour coming ahead here at on K-Rock between 7 and 8. Hey, Dave.
Hi, guys.
What's up, man?
You know, stuff.
All right.
All right.
Way to bring it, King. Time like for a brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup.
Internet Roundup. Better turn your sound up. Internet Roundup on KRock.com.
Yes, you can see all the best viral videos of the week at KevinBean.com or KRock.com. King of Mexico puts them together for us once a week. One that we're not going to be playing a clip from because it's just music that you like very much is the Stranger Things edit. Now, this Stranger Things show, as you know, we love so much on Netflix, and it has been recut as a comedy, right?
As an 80s sitcom, yeah, like yeah. The theme, the intro theme.
It's so well done.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Who are these people who come up with these ideas and do such good work? Honest Trailers is back. Two great ones on this week's Internet Roundup. The first one is for the film Watchmen. This was the Zack Snyder movie that he did that was very polarizing, to say the least. And here's Honest Trailers' take on some of the character portrayals.
Meet darkened versions of heroes you know and love who do their best to fight crime and maintain an erection.
What's wrong?
Oh, hell.
Like the comedian who's Captain America. If he were a dick, Rorschach, who's Batman, if he were a dick, and Dr. Manhattan, who's Superman, if he were a dick, who always had his hanging out. Well, seriously, always.
There is an awful lot of blue penis in that movie, if you recall correctly. Honest Trailers also took on, with the new Jason Bourne movie in theaters, they took on the whole Bourne trilogy. And you don't realize, maybe, because you see them a couple years apart, that all three movies are exactly the same movie. But here's what they did with it.
The Bourne Trilogy. Experience the gritty, realistic world of the Bourne franchise. Full of bone-crunching action that feels like it's really happening. Spy technology that feels grounded in reality. And the signature camera work that feels like someone strapped a GoPro to a meth head.
Yeah, those movies are pretty dizzying, aren't they?
I'm just glad that in the new one, they all squashed it and are now friends.
I don't...
Right? That's what happened.
I don't think that.
That's
I don't
not
believe
what
that's
happened
not
at all. Yeah. No.
This is very clever. Someone did their own version of the Suicide Squad trailer, but they did it as if it were a Quentin Tarantino movie. And Quentin takes a lot of characters from his previous movies to get, like, Jules from Pulp Fiction or the Bride from Kill Bill or Django from Django Unchained. And he has actors playing all of them that look a lot like the real actors from the films. What would happen if Quentin put his best anti-heroes together for Suicide Squad and it came out like this?
This summer, the director of Pulp Fiction, Kill Bill, Django Unchained, and Inglourious Basterds brings you the world's most diabolical anti-heroes.
You have written some of the most depraved and violent people the world has ever known. I want you to assemble a team.
What kind of team?
The best of the worst, back in action.
I think that movie would be pretty good, too, by the way, if it gets made. All right, now back to real life. This is the saddest video on the Internet Roundup. This is a girl who's trying to get her boyfriend to kill a spider. And you guys know how I feel about killing spiders.
Being
you pick
so
them up
truly
and you put them outside.
Emotionally distraught about killing spiders.
Because spiders, 99.99999% of the time, do nothing but good things for you. They're not going to hurt you.
Pick your fight.
But this little pussy just falls apart at this spider. Listen to this video.
That was my favorite, by the way.
So even though he ultimately ended up needlessly killing the spider still won because of how stupid this kid looks screaming.
Right? The spider won.
Spider survived. That was from listener Jonathan. And
really? The spider survived getting whacked by that magazine?
Nope. Didn't hit him. Missed him. Yeah, listener. He sent me an email and
that's all
said,
cool, B.
Here's my failed attempt to do it. My wife got this to me.
Okay,
got me
good.
On it. So spider one, Jonathan zero.
Kevin, I'm going to let you sit at the next one because I know it's your favorite and you watched it 100 times yesterday.
Well, a girl does a backflip. Standing backflip. She's on the beach, and you know how you start facing one direction. Then you do a backflip, and you land on your feet facing the same direction?
Uh-huh. You're supposed to, right.
That goes about three-quarters of the way, and
ooh.
She pretty much face-plants on the beach.
The person recording.
Very supportive person
sounded
recording.
The funniest thing ever.
Now, Is that funny?
Yes.
When you see a, when you see a friend of yours face plant.
Oh, my God. It's the funniest
thing
in the world.
How is that funny?
It's, what, what's
she
wrong with you?
She snapped her neck. It didn't look good.
But she did it.
It didn't look good at all.
She didn't know that when she started laughing.
Why are you the enemy of fun?
Because the woman fell on her face.
Right. That's
why.
Always funny.
Space Jam 3, anime edition. Now, Space Jam 2 hasn't been made yet. That's coming out at some point.
That's coming out
with LeBron James, right. So somebody thought, hey, what if Jeremy Lin were the basketball player in the Space Jam instead? But, of course, there's no animation. This is all people kind of dressed up as the anime characters that he would be playing basketball with. And these people have never seen a basketball player that looks quite like Jeremy Lin.
Hey, look, some of the guys don't believe me, but will you tell them? Tell them that you're Michael.
Michael?
Yeah, tell them who you are. Tell them you're Michael Jordan.
What? I'm not Michael Jordan.
Oh, you grabbed the wrong guy.
Told you.
How was I supposed to know?
You didn't look like him.
Hey, what's going on here?
We needed a basketball player, but we got you instead.
Well, I still play basketball.
You do?
Yeah.
You don't look like a basketball player.
Yeah, you look more like one of us.
Well, I might not look it, but I am a basketball player. I'm Jeremy Lin.
Who?
He sure is a good actor. Jimmy Kimmel Live has two videos of this week's Internet Roundup. The first one is very funny. He's interviewing people on the street out in front of his theater in Hollywood about the upcoming UFC 202. That's the Conor McGregor-Nate Diaz rematch.
Yep.
And he's interviewing people on the street who all think Conor McGregor is going to win. What they don't know is that Nate Diaz is right behind them. And listen to this guy's reaction as Nate steps into his field of view.
UFC 202, Conor McGregor versus Nate Diaz. Who's going to win and how?
I love Conor McGregor. He's my favorite fighter. He's definitely going to knock out Nate Diaz at 202. And it's going to be a completely different fight this time.
He's going to knock him out.
He's going to knock him out. There he is.
There he is.
Those guys are lucky, by the way. Those people on the street. That he didn't punch him.
Yeah. They just did not look pleased, by the way, to see all these people talking up Conor McGregor. And finally, Jimmy Kimmel did this a couple of years ago. Well, Jimmy Kimmel's wife allowed this to happen to Jimmy Kimmel a couple of years ago when Rihanna showed up and started singing in his bedroom. Jimmy is sound asleep in his bed, and all of a sudden he hears all this noise. He wakes up, it's Rihanna. Well, they did it again. This time it's Britney Spears and her dancer singing Britney's new song. Again, Jimmy's wife sets this up. He's sound asleep in bed in his underwear wearing his mouth guard. And all of a sudden, he wakes up and there's Britney Spears dancing over him. It's unbelievable.
So, we have a surprise for Jimmy. We're going to go wake him up and see what happens.
Thanks for coming by. What happened to my wife? You can go to
her. Is having become part of the group?
It's what time was it, Jimmy? Was it 2:45 in the morning,
something like that?
Listen to Jimmy. Thanks for coming by.
So to be married to his wife. She's bringing Rihanna and Britney Spears. Come on.
It doesn't sound like Jimmy's enjoying it, but that's not how you want those people coming over to your house. Anyway, it's another good batch. You can see it at krock.com or kevinandbean.com. It's this week's Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup.
Internet Roundup on kevinandbean.com.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 6:53.
Keep listening for your tickets for Disneyland. We got a Disneyland Resort Deluxe Annual Pass or Park Hopper Pass coming up on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. And comedian actress Julie Clouster joins us next. First, though, Allie in for Ralph with the Showbiz Beat on a Friday. What's going on?
A Modern Family is just the best.
Correct.
It has been forever. It never slows down. Every single season, it's almost funnier than the last, which doesn't seem possible, right?
Yep.
Well, I am looking forward to two very specific guest stars for this upcoming season. Are you going to guess?
Or nope.
Okay. Former Castle star Nathan Fillion.
Okay, I'm in.
You're in.
Yeah.
But let me tell you who he'll be playing.
Boba Fett.
No. That's Boba.
So good. So Bean says it for some reason.
But every other time, he switches it up.
Mm-hmm.
It's very odd. He will be playing a local weatherman named, wait for it, Rainer Shine.
Wow.
I love it so much. It's so stupid.
Yeah.
But it's so fitting because, really, Johnny Mountain, Dallas Rain.
Seriously.
Seriously.
Agreed.
Unbelievable. And the other guest star that I'm looking forward to?
Boba Fett.
Nope. Boba, first of all. Martin Short.
Oh, Martin Short's great.
Martin Short on Modern Family?
That's great.
It's like they love us, you guys.
Who's he going to be playing?
He's going to play a promotional maven plugging a product. I mean, it doesn't even matter who he's playing.
Right?
Oh, my God. So into that. So hurry up.
Dick Poop.
No, he has not been mentioned.
I feel like she's already mentioned both names.
Yeah, Nathan Fillion.
These nuts?
Nope. Nathan Fillion.
Jesus?
Nope, not Jesus. And just Martin Short. So just
Rodney
Johnny
on the Rock.
He would be great.
Johnny Asshole.
Nope.
Steven Seagal.
Steven Seagal.
Is he a pig?
Ariana Grande?
No. All right, moving along. Bean, I am very sorry to be the one to bring you this news, but I don't want you to get your feelings hurt that you will not be invited to Miley Cyrus's wedding.
How do you know he won't be?
Sources tell Us Weekly that her and Liam want a very small wedding. They're going to say their I do's on an Australian beach.
Okay. Bean can't go to an Australian beach?
He can't.
Is it an open beach?
Super, well, he can go and just like stare at him. But...
Right. That's what he does.
Okay. Then you can do it. But here's what I like to see. They're asking their guests to donate to charity instead of splurging on expensive gifts. That's nice.
That is nice.
It's nice to hear from a young couple. That's really nice. Anyone else?
Yes, that's nice.
Oh, okay. You both said that. Mm-hmm. This is something Kevin would do, and I love it so, so much.
What would I do?
So Jonah Hill is very serious about his diet right now. He really wanted to slim down after filming War Dogs last year. So he hired a nutritionist to figure out good eating plan, and he's keeping a diary journal.
Mm-hmm.
So he's writing down like, okay, I ate a hamburger at 4:20, and I did this, and that very detailed diet plan.
Right.
So he goes to email it to the doctor, this nutritionist, but instead just puts in DR in his phone. Name comes up, he sends.
Right.
He sent it to Drake. he really doesn't know Drake. So he sent this detailed diet journal
to a man
he really doesn't know. And now he said he's going to have to duck him for the rest of his life because they barely even know each other. Isn't that amazing?
That's fantastic.
That is so... I would do that. And I have done it before. You think you're sending to, like, Kevin, but it's King Hussein.
What? What are you talking about?
Think of another K name. And I
you couldn't think of any other K name.
Is it King Hussein?
She said King Hussein.
Maybe I'm not better.
No, you're good.
How about the King Hussein?
Right?
What? How do you have a drop?
That guy just called live.
He did?
No.
Oh, that's very weird. Very weird stuff happening in the world of music. Lauryn Hill, who sometimes doesn't show up to shows.
Well, she's crazy.
Yeah, she needs some help.
Mm-hmm.
And if she does show up to a show, sometimes it's right before it's supposed to end, usually within 2-3 hours.
She's on the Axl Rose schedule.
Yes, absolutely. Well, she's taken another shot at a tour. She has booked 17 shows, kicking off in Philly on August 27th and wraps up in Phoenix on November the 13th. I don't think anyone in this room loves Lauryn Hill more than me. The Fugees, love Lauryn Hill, Miseducation of Lauryn Hill. To this day, one of my favorite albums. I don't know if I would buy a ticket.
Just because you don't trust that it would happen?
I don't trust her. That makes me sad. Because she's truly an amazing artist.
Remember, we had the Fugees at the Weenie Roast Bean?
Oh, yeah. Oh, sure, yeah.
And they were so late.
Oh,
and they got on stage and they did like a couple of songs people didn't know. And then they started doing strumming and the stage just started turning.
No. Yes. Oh.
Because they were a half hour late.
Oh, come on.
And those shows are scheduled pretty much to the minute. So, yeah, that happened.
Come on. Mm-hmm. Get it together, Lauren. All these stars born today, the 5th of August. Maureen McCormick is 60. Did you love her, Bean?
You know, I was not a big Brady Bunch fan.
Really?
But she is very attractive. Seems like a very nice lady. We've had her on the show before. I like her very much. She looks great for 60, too.
Right. Jesse Williams is 35, and athlete Lolo Jones is 34. I'm Allie McKay, and for Ralph Garman, walking the showbiz beat.
The movie man himself from 6 Second Reviews, Russ Leatherman, joins us in about 15 minutes or so to break down this weekend's new releases. Then our friend Jensen Karp will be here. He's the Kevin Bean beef correspondent. We may be the only show on the air that has a beef correspondent standing by.
Beef. It's what's for dinner.
Not that kind of beef, Kevin.
Oh.
This is, he's the guy who covers all the rap battles, and this one is apparently Eminem versus Drake, so we'll see what he has to say.
I hate
that.
It when Chip goes over and marks the tape. I hate that.
Because you know it's going to come back, and you're going to feel shame, and you're going to regret that it happens. And by the way, just as an update, while we wait for Miss Julia Klausner to join us here on the Kevin Bean Show, and she should be calling in any minute, we opened up the show today by telling you about, look, I know it's all about the Olympics right now. That's what everybody's, you know, everybody's thinking sports, they're thinking Olympics right now. But the World Yo-Yo Championships also going on right now at a Renaissance Hotel in Cleveland. And we took a deep dive into yo-yoing this morning when we came on the air. And sadly, the live stream has still not kicked in. So I'm not sure what time the competition gets underway, but that's my weekend plan. I don't know about you guys. Mm.
Do you think they have like an Andrew Siciliano in a gold zone where they're taking you from competition to competition?
Well, I mean, we did talk about how there were 7 different categories for yo-yo tricks. So it's very possible that some of them are going on at the same time.
One of the categories is 2 yo-yos at the same time.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
You looked it up?
Of course.
You did some research after the segment?
I went right to the stream. I want to see people yo-yoing. Are you kidding? That sounds fair. I hope there's a good play-by-play guy. That's what would make all the difference.
And I hope it's you next year.
Can you imagine? That in a second.
Walking the dog. This is crazy. We are very excited about the Yo-Yo World Championship. So we will definitely keep you posted. And tell me, when that sucker goes live in Cleveland,
right?
We're going to break into regular programming to let you know so that you can tune in and see it for yourself.
It's on.
All right. It looks like we're getting very close to Julie. She is a writer, a podcaster, an actress, a comedian. She does it all, and she is one of the stars of the delightful series on Hulu that we love and have talked about so much called Difficult People. What? What are you laughing at?
I would never describe it as delightful.
It is delightful.
It is delightful.
It's charming
if you're
and
us.
Funny.
Yeah, if you're
if
us,
you're
right.
Us.
Yeah, of course. All
who
right,
understand it.
Why don't we go to Julie and get a ruling on whether she's okay with her series being called delightful. Hi, Ms. Klausner. How are you?
Delightful.
There you go.
I apologize, Julie. I apologize.
See, I got some
delightful people.
That's what it should
be
called. You're
called delightful people.
Absolutely.
Well, Julie, I can't believe we haven't had you on the Kevin Bean Show before, but it's really great to talk to you. How are you today?
I'm great. Thank you guys so much for having me.
Of course.
Oh, it's our pleasure. How many episodes are we into season 2 of Difficult People on Hulu right now?
We're 5 in, and we've got 5 more, and then we can all go home. And
you have to stay there until all 5 come out?
No. Yeah, we have 5, and we release them weekly. You know, we don't drop them in your lap because we don't trust people to binge watch them without, you know, going back into life with a certain amount of negativity that is.
was that difficult since it's on Netflix and they seem to have that
Hulu?
I'm sorry, Hulu. Was it difficult to convince them to do it week by week?
No, that's how they wanted to do it.
All right.
Which I think they've never done a show before, so it really worked out because I've never done a show either. So when the two of us got together, we sort of had to figure out what the show was and how we wanted to do things. It was like two virgins making love for the first time.
That is hot.
That is pretty hot.
So it's beautiful but awkward, then, is what you're saying.
So awkward.
Right.
They're crying.
Right.
That does sound
this
about
is
right.
Taking me back.
Yeah. Yeah. It is, right?
I'll tell you what it doesn't sound is delightful.
Yeah,
so
you've got a point.
So you and your good friend Billy Eichner are playing fictionalized, heightened versions of yourselves. But this is what's always so confusing for me because it seems so realistic that I bet when people meet you in real life, they think you're going to be more like Julie Kessler than the real Julie Klausner.
Which gives me so much freedom to be a bigger jerk than I am, which I love. I mean, the person I play on the show has no self-awareness.
Right.
And it's really, and she's just sort of like, I don't want to say that she's meaner. She's just a lot dumber about you know, how her actions have consequences in the world around her and how they're not all the world's fault.
Right.
So it's great when people meet me and they realize that I have, like, a modicum of, like, maturity or self-awareness, or that I'm not going to, you know, yell at their children.
But
I like setting my, you know, expectations very low so I can only exceed them as a person.
That's a good way to go through
but
life.
Billy in real life is like Billy on the show.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, no, there's nothing more than that. He's exactly like that. No, he's definitely more like the Billy on our show than he is like the Billy on the street that, you know, he doesn't run around New York City yelling at people. He's actually pretty shy and soft-spoken, but that's definitely a side of him. But no, this was an opportunity to, because I've written for him for years, so this was an opportunity for me to write to the friendship that we have in a more... even though it's kind of a wacky show, like crazy things happen to us, it does come from a grounded place of a real friendship and people that are genuinely unhappy. And then when you see what their situations are outside of each other, you kind of understand. Like my mom is such a narcissist on the show, and she's just like, you kind of feel for my character when you watch her hang out with her mom, or at least that's my intention. And then,
oh no, totally. And Andrea Martin is brilliant on the show. She's so great. You know what I hear from ladies that I know, Julie, is they're so desperately jealous of the relationship you have with a gay best friend. I know so many women who would kill for a gay best friend like Billy. Like, he's always there in every way that you need him to be.
Yeah, there should be a Tinder for that. I mean, I don't know
totally
what to tell you. It's kind of, there's really no friendship like it. And especially, you know, gay men love funny women and funny women love gay men. It's really nice. But I will say that, like, women would not kill for a relationship like the one I have with my mom. But I have heard from ladies who are like, that's my relationship with my mom.
We are talking to actress Julie Klausner of The Kevin Bean Show. She's also the creative and executive producer of the show Difficult People, which is on Hulu with new episodes every Tuesday. I told Billy when we had him on a few weeks ago that I just am so blown away by the level of guest stars that you have. And this season is even crazier. Are you at the point where you don't get starstruck anymore if you get an Amy Sedaris or a Nathan Lane or a Tina Fey? Or is it still, like, too good to be true for you?
It's all too good to be true. I feel like I've won some sort of bizarre contest every day. I show up at work and I look at the call sheet, and we see these, like, especially on our show, we have these wonderful, insane juxtapositions of people that should never be on the same set together.
Right.
Like, I remember there was one episode where we were shooting with two of the Real Housewives and Lin-Manuel Miranda. And I just remember waking up and seeing, like, okay, well, today we have Lin-Manuel Miranda and the Countess Luanda Lesseps, and on Friday, Richard Kind and Nathan Lane is coming, and on Monday we have Julianne Moore, and then we have Kate Pearson from the B-52s, which was like...
What a weird life.
She may never go to the bathroom again after what you did to her, Julie.
Well, I'd like to see her try.
Delightful.
Sounds like a challenge.
See, it is delightful.
It is.
Do you have any problems with it? I always think about this when somebody like Seth Meyers, for instance, who was on a couple of episodes, and I don't even know if I can describe what he does on your show, but it's very, very dirty. Is there a problem in talking somebody like that who has a network, NBC network show on his back, into getting permission to do something so crazy on your show?
Well, just so people know, it's not as dirty as you made it seem. He just plays a gay prostitute who also happens to be a con man.
Right.
And I have to say, like, it was the least likely person that we thought of that would want to do that role, and that's exactly why Billy asked him. And I think that may have had something to do with him saying yes. It was just one of these things where you just would never expect Seth to be that.
Yeah.
But he was totally game for it, and I was thrilled. I mean, to be able to put him in that light and have him be game for it, like, what a treat.
We've had him in several times, and he does strike me as the kind of guy who would jump at that, not just be okay with it. He would actually say, absolutely, when do we start?
Yeah, that's pretty much what happened. I mean, that's what I really like about him, is he does seem sort of like a conservative kind of guy, and then you, like, realize that he's got a more twisted brain than you know, underneath all that pretty hair.
Yeah. All right, last question for me, Julie, and you are such a hard worker and always have been through your career, and you're wearing like 10 hats doing this show. But you're playing somebody who's like so many other people in the world in lots of different businesses, not just show business, who believe the world owes them a living, who are willing to do almost nothing to get ahead in life, but spend all of their time bitching about the world. You must run into a lot of people like that for inspiration, too.
I mean, that's sort of the nature of show business, is that there are horrible people in it, but the people around them are even worse. And honestly, like, she really is based on earlier versions of myself. Like I said, I'm a lot more self-aware than she is. And so I look back at how, you know, when I was just getting started, and I was lazy and I wasn't a great writer and I had to put in the work to do it. But at the time, it was a lot easier to just blame my situation for being unfair, or blaming the people around me and being jealous at other people who were getting, you know, things that I wasn't, as though that would help me get what I wanted. So
Right. It's
sort of like, it's kind of a homage to, you know, the way that we all sort of are deep down or used to be. I hope that it resonates, and it definitely helps me sort of accept that version of who I used to be without being like, oh, I hate that version.
I was terrible.
But now you're less murdery, right?
Describe less murdery.
You don't want to murder people as much because you have had this success.
Well, first of all, I don't want to murder anybody.
A little bit.
Because I'm a public figure now, and the police would be able to track it back to me.
Okay, good point. That's right, a good point.
There is a tape of this call.
Hadn't thought of that. Okay.
Very much. but no, I'm thrilled. That said, is it going to ever be hard for me to be like, I forget what it's like to be miserable because I'm so happy? No, that, I don't know.
Okay, good to know.
My therapist can vouch for the fact that that's not at risk.
The show is so funny, you guys. Not that there aren't a lot of good reasons to have Hulu, but this is number one on the list. It's called Difficult People, with new episodes released every Tuesday, and it has been a lot of fun to catch up with you, Julie. Thanks so much for coming on the Kevin and Bean Show. We enjoyed it.
Oh, my God. Thanks so much for having me, guys.
You bet. Well, 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:23.
I still feel a lack of commitment from the band at the end of that song. They just kind of peter out, don't they?
It does seem like they lost energy in that song while recording it. Yes.
You know what? We could go back and do it again, but do we need to? No. Hey, we'll talk to Jensen Karp, our rap beef correspondent, coming up in about 10 minutes. Actress Mila Kunis is going to be next hour. First, though, let's bring Russ Leatherman to the show. He is the movie man himself from 6SecondReviews.com. How are you, Russ?
Doing fantastic. Happy Friday, you guys.
To you as well.
I'm glad we have you on. Before we get into this week's movies, I wanted to talk to you just for a minute about a topic that seems to be all over the internet and TV this week, which is whether we should give a damn what critics say. There was a lot of outrage by certain segments of the movie going public about critics this week because of the Suicide Squad. And I keep seeing articles about how, you know, the critics didn't love the Batman versus Superman, but it made $900 million. So do critics even make a difference anymore? What do you think as a critic?
Well, here's the thing. I'm barely a critic, as you know. Right? Like, I don't know that we even consider ourselves critics. I think critics, you know, died, and no pun intended, along with Roger Ebert and some of the guys who really used to study film and enjoy film. You have people who certainly know more about film than others, but now everybody has a voice, you know, with the internet and radio and television and even including the stuff I do. Everyone is a critic, so you can't go to a place like Rotten Tomatoes and look at the general overall number and get a sense of a movie. What you do have to do is you have to find somebody who you know sees a lot of movies, whether it's the guy next door, whether it's a good friend, whether it's me, whether it's whomever, and sort of get to know their taste and get to know what they like and what they don't like. Because like you said, Suicide Squad getting killed, but the movie's going to make a ton of money up front.
Now, and I can't wait.
Yeah, they think it's going to make $150 million this weekend. And there are a bunch of people like Kevin Smith and people like that who are coming out and just loved it and think it looks different than any other comic book movie ever. And I know we're going to get to that in a minute. But just in general, we just don't care, and we probably shouldn't care. What I mean, if we like a movie, go see a movie, right?
Well, but you need a guide of some sort, right? But you have to find somebody who you trust their opinion. So you guys put all of your faith in me, which I really appreciate.
And then we discount everything you say.
Then you discount everything I say, then you do what you want.
Right.
That's exactly
all right.
How it should work.
But well, you're before, like our movie Sherpa.
Right, exactly.
Yes.
All right, before we get to Suicide Squad, which has received so much press this week, let's talk about a smaller movie. Here's a clip from a film Russell tell us about. It's called Nine Lives.
How did I get into this?
You haven't been there for your family. You're going to be stuck inside this cat until you make things right.
Seriously?
But I hate cats.
Yeah!
That's what makes this so perfect.
You're the best gift I ever got.
Just drown me.
Oh, my God.
What am I listening to there, Russ?
Wait, is that real?
That's not real.
Is that real?
Oh, that's real. Not only that, it's Kevin Spacey.
No.
Yeah, it's Christopher Walken. It's Jennifer Garner in a movie where Kevin Spacey turns into a cat.
How did this get made, and why did he say yes?
Why would any of them say yes? Is it good?
Got to get paid, yo.
Not sure you can pull that off.
Here's what I can tell you. The first 20 minutes are terrible.
Okay.
After that, I gotta go.
You left.
Okay, so you don't really know. I see.
I like a critic, in quotes, air quotes, that says he left.
You know what? Here's the thing. Life is too short. Am I right, Kevin?
You're right.
But here's the thing I don't understand about how show business works, and that is Kevin Spacey, Academy Award-winning actor Kevin Spacey, he must get offered so many great scripts. I would think he is turning down great movies. How does he have time or interest to do this? They can't have paid him that much.
Yeah, this one's a little bit hard to understand because it seems like they must not have read the script. The movie looks, you look at the trailer, you look at the everything about it, it looks terrible.
What about a favor for a friend? What about like
a favor for a friend?
A director, a screenwriter, somebody that wants some help and sort of knows him?
I think that's the answer, Kevin. I have no idea.
All right, good.
Okay. Let's keep naming things. That like could it. Be, though.
All right. So Russ says the first 20 minutes are awful. If you stay any longer than that, you're on your own. All right, let's move on. Here's a clip from the trailer of the movie everybody is talking about with a phenomenal cast in theaters this weekend called Suicide Squad.
I want to assemble a task force of the most dangerous people on the planet.
They're bad guys. Worst of the worst.
Deadshot. Guy shoots people. He's a crocodile. And he eats people. Burns people. You're possessed by a witch. And she's just crazy.
What was that? I should kill everyone and escape? Sorry. The voices.
You're going somewhere very bad.
Whoa!
Do something that'll get you killed.
I can't wait to show you my toys.
Ooh, all right, Russ, I hope you stayed to the end of this one. What'd you think?
Well, even what you heard there is kind of weird, right? Because the soundtrack goes on underneath dialogue throughout a lot of the movie, where a lot of times you just hear a little song clip here and there. This is like a two-hour music video, which is kind of weird.
Makes me want to see it even more.
This movie has so much hype. I can't think of it. First of all, I was hoping it would save summer, because summer's been full of just movie turds, right? So I was thinking, this is a superhero movie that's going to save summer. And maybe it is for some of us. Let's do this. Let's play the six-second review, then we'll talk about it a little bit. Here we go.
The Movie Man. Six-second review starts now.
In a summer of half-baked superhero movies, being completely baked is the only way to enjoy Suicide Squad. I'm out.
Some movies good, some movies not so good. All you need to know in 6 seconds flat at 6secondreviews.com.
So you're telling me that I have to be high?
I believe it's required.
I will do that.
That's our audience. You're talking to our people.
Although, Kevin, I don't know that you have to. Here's why.
Yes.
And this is only what I've heard. You and I have never spent a lot of time together. But
right.
The movie is so all over the place. I mean, the critics are right. The plot is incoherent. They try to jam way too many characters into the movie. But I think you have a short-term memory problem anyway.
Oh, right? Big time.
Kevin is our Dory.
Big time.
So you don't care what happens from one scene to the next. You don't need a coherent plot. You need cool stuff to look at. You need some cool characters. Jared Leto as the Joker.
Yep.
It is pretty phenomenal. Margot Robbie as Harley Quinn is, the whole concept is a little bit creepy, but she's super good, I think.
Oh, so, she kills me in the commercials for that. It makes me want to see the movie just for more of Harley Quinn. That character looks so fun.
You know what? Expectations were so high for this movie. There's no way it could meet the expectations. But if you go in just expecting some cool pieces and parts, they introduced way too many characters. Again, they tried to do way too much for the movie, but there's no way it could live up to the hype. I think it's watchable, but do yourself a favor. Spend 10, 15 minutes in the parking lot before you go in.
I mean, if we have to.
I think we understand.
Okay.
All right. Suicide Squad and Nine Lives. Those are your two choices. You can see reviews for these and so much more at 6secondreviews.com. Follow Russ on Twitter at 6secondreviews as well. He is the movie man, and thank you so much for joining us. We'll talk again soon, sir.
Love you guys. Thank you.
Actress Mila Kunis on the program next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Also, your tickets to go see Radiohead at the Shrine. Give you a chance to win those just after 9 o'clock. All right. It's on, or is it? Eminem versus Drake. Is this a real rape?
I'm sorry?
Rap battle.
Wow.
Not rape at all.
Take
There's
it
no
easy.
Rape involved at all, right?
Wow, that went south.
We don't like to speculate. That's why we bring in the expert. Hit it, Steve.
Chance to cough. Your flow is so tight. You rock the mic right. I can't believe you're white. Chance to cough. Come on, blow up the spot. The world famous K-Rock. Let's talk hip-hop.
Jensen Karp is our hip-hop correspondent. He joins us back on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock right now. Hey, Jensen, how are you, man?
Hey, guys. I caught late there. Is there a rape involved in this season?
No, there's not.
There isn't. That was, I don't know where that came from, but I apologize.
A great deal.
Honestly, I looked at my notes, and I was like, I don't see that.
You thought you were missing something?
All right.
I was slightly confused, yeah.
This might be much ado about nothing. Give us the genesis of what blew up earlier this week, allegedly, between Drake and Eminem.
Yeah, in real life, this might be something set up just so I can come back on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Oh.
This is not a real beef in hip hop, but it's almost fantasy booking. Like it's like how when the Golden State Warriors won all those games, people were like, could they beat the Bulls?
Right,
the Michael Jordan Bulls. It's not necessarily real, but there is a small inkling that one day this could pop its ugly head up, and I think that's what people are most excited about, which is an underground rapper named Joe Budden, who in most cases would never have his name mentioned on K-Rock ever.
Right.
But he's sort of a rappy rap guy. He's a very big lyricist in hip-hop. And he went on his podcast, which is where I guess all rap beef should start in 2016.
Right.
It's called I'll Name This Podcast Later. And he said that he felt, listening to Drake's last album, Views, he felt that the rapper sounded uninspired. And he went on this sort of rant and on his podcast. And that turned into a lot of people thinking that Joe Budden doesn't like Drake. And so Joe Budden, seeing an opportunity to sort of have his name mentioned a lot of different places, again, he kind of had a hit back in the early 2000s, he started just talking about it a lot on Twitter, talking about how he thinks Drake isn't as good as everyone says, and maybe he started off very hot, but nowadays he seems mediocre. And he just sort of kept poking at this cage that Drake is in, so much so that he released a song called Making a Murderer Part 1, in June, where he sort of just has a string of Drake insults. And again, these are things you never would have heard. You know what I mean?
Okay.
This is kind of, do you hear a tree in a forest? You know what I mean?
Yeah,
right.
Around. How did Eminem even get involved in this discussion then?
Well, here's the thing. So these fans stalk Drake. They stalk Joe Budden. These two fans on Instagram, they're young kids. They sit outside of Joe Budden's house. Joe Budden pulls up in his car. They run up on him, and they go, Joe Budden, in his driveway. Joe Budden does not think it's funny.
Okay.
Follows them down the block. It's worth watching online if you kind of just Google away this thing. And so Joe Budden goes online. It becomes a bit of a meme. And Drake, the only thing you hear from Drake is that he follows one of the kids on Instagram.
Okay.
Which is a very small amount of shade. Nothing enough. Not enough All right. to make create a beef, but enough to go, ooh, Drake is maybe has hurt Joe Budden. And so that sort of becomes a thing. Now Drake does end up going on a French Montana song a couple days later, a remix for a song called No Shopping, and throws a couple words here or there that seem that they're directed at Joe Budden. He says Pump It Up, which is a reference to Joe Budden and Joe Budden's one hit. Those kind of things
but
happen.
We still haven't heard Eminem.
Yeah, because it's really not happening. That's what happens. So Eminem, a long time ago, signed a rap group called Slaughterhouse, which Joe Budden was part of. And a guy named Ebro, who's used to be a Hot 97, or still is a Hot 97 guy, but also works over at the Apple radio, goes on the thing and goes on the radio and says, I talked to Eminem, and then I went to Drake and I said, hey, Eminem might have something for you, to Drake. And Drake goes, oh God, well, that sounds like that's not real. But I'll tell you something, if he comes at me, I got something for him. And the internet went insane.
So basically, it was just one guy just making stuff happen that wasn't actually happening.
That's it. And really, that guy should be my publicist.
Seriously.
Did he really talk to Eminem, or did he make the whole thing up, Jensen?
Well, then he says, you know, a couple days later, he comes out and he says, listen, it was all kind of a joke. We were kidding back and forth between Drake and Eminem. There's not really a thing. Paul Rosenberg, Eminem's manager, comes out and says there is no problem between Drake and Eminem, who have a song together back in the day, which is really good for that basketball movie. The more than a LeBron James basketball movie, Forever. It's a great song. They have a song together. They've never had problems. But is this a real thing or not? It does seem like it's just a way for me to get back on your show.
Okay.
Gotcha.
All right.
Okay. Now, you seemed to be yesterday on your social media throwing a lot of shade at Eminem. Now, I read your book, and it sounded like you are a little resentful that Eminem got all the resources at the record company at the time when you were signed as the other white rapper. Is that what this is all about, or do you really dislike him or dislike his work?
No, if you read the book, I do admit to how great Eminem was in the year 2001 to 2004, 2005. But I've been on your show, and I've admitted in the past that I think that we had someone who at one time could have been almost the Bob Dylan of our generation, releasing Stan and Lose Yourself and the movie and all these things that he's doing that's incredible. And since then is an over 40-year-old man talking about farts and Christopher Reeve. There's been no maturity, no growth in him. So when people sit there and go, oh, God, Drake is going to get murdered by Eminem, these people don't understand that the only real true battles that we've seen Eminem go through are Christina Aguilera, Fred Durst, his mother, Chris Kirkpatrick, Moby. I mean, these are...
But the Benzino diss, that
was... Benzino was one of the, you know, easiest target rappers of all time.
But it was still good.
Fine, sure. But also, if you want to talk about Ja Rule late in his career, these were things that Eminem picked that were targets. He early in his career, avoided people like Nelly and Cage. And
you said he was picking fish in a bucket, basically, is what you said.
He was, and that's been his whole career from beginning to end. And I'm not saying that Eminem would lose to Drake. I'm just saying we should not pretend that Eminem is a proven true battler in 2016. At this point, kids know him as the guy with Rihanna on the hook. This is not a guy who's going to King of the Dot in Toronto and battling dudes one by one. I mean, I don't think it would be as easy as you would think. Drake had a very simple time taking out Meek Mill in a battle recently.
But Meek Mill was terrible.
Meek Mill. Listen, I could beat Meek Mill.
Listen, Meek Mill came up as a battle rapper. He's necessarily not the kind of guy that you want to go up against. But I'm not even a Meek Mill fan. But Eminem's never even faced a Meek Mill. Meek Mill would be the best rapper that Eminem's ever taken on. So it's been a long time since the Rap Olympics in 1998, where Eminem did come in second here in Los Angeles in a battle. It's been a long time. And don't tell me that the 8 Mile battle is the best one he's ever done, because that was directed by Curtis Hanson. That's not a real battle.
Right. It was written, exactly.
So exactly. A, it's not real. And B, Eminem wouldn't have that easy of a time.
And maybe not only me, but maybe the internet itself is motivating a old Eminem. You know, he's got a grown daughter, and he's still talking about the same thing. But maybe it's motivated Eminem to be hungry, and maybe we'll hear a Drake subtle thing in the future.
Oh, that'd be so
great. Would be anything that would wake up Eminem out of his slumber and have him make great records again. I think we would all be happy about, right?
Yeah, but again, it would be hard. Eminem is never. He's just completely. Never taken on a rapper that would have any sort of challenge back. It's just something that hasn't happened.
I feel like Jensen is instigating. He wants a rap battle with Eminem.
Here's the thing. If I have to Don King their rap battle,
you'd be more than happy.
I will throw any fuel to this fire. Yeah, no, I would love to see this happen. I also, again, I love rap beef. I've been writing those battles for the James Corden show called Drop the Mic. I've been writing those. Thank you.
So
I've been writing those. So listen, I am a fan of the battle. I think that everyone should understand it's sort of part of the game. And Eminem versus Drake would not only revitalize both of them, but it would revitalize hip hop in general.
It would be fun. All right, last question, and then we're out of time, Jensen. And that is, I know you're friends with Drake, and you guys are in the tribe and all that. But are you surprised at how shockingly successful he is? I mean, he has had a single and an album that have been number one almost the entire summer. He's never been bigger. Are you surprised?
No. I don't know the exact record, but he's broken tons of Michael Jackson records as far as like number one.
Yeah, number one's forever.
Yeah, number one singles on one album. This is a rapper who has understood what is needed to make a hit song. He's writing full songs. He's
still able to rap. You know, back to back, the Meek Mill diss, he proved he still has that. He's making R&B songs. The idea of a soft rapper, you know, and I did quotes. You can't hear that on the radio, but I did hand quotes.
Air quotes, okay.
Those things don't happen anymore. There's no such thing as a soft rapper when you have, you know, Sprite commercials for everyone and Nicki Minaj with her own line of MAC cosmetics. The idea of a sellout doesn't exist in 2016. If you want to go back and wear a backpack with me in 1998 and complain about it, I'll do it with you in a time travel machine. but as of right now, that is not something that exists.
All right.
And Drake is proving that because he's extremely credible and still makes songs your mom likes.
Good enough. All right. By the way, if you have not yet picked it up, Kanye West Owes Me $300 and Other True Stories from a White Rapper Who Almost Made It Big is available wherever books are sold, and it is great. You'll learn a lot about our friend Jensen Karp, who is our hip-hop correspondent. Thanks for coming on, man. Have a great weekend.
Long live Drake.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:53.
Yo-Yo live stream is up, guys. I'm watching the World Championship Yo-Yo competition right now from the Renaissance Ballroom in Cleveland, Ohio.
And?
You guys, whatever you're doing.
The Olympics does not have a chance.
No, not against
right?
this.
Wow.
And you said that the announcer is wearing cargo shorts and basically he's living Kevin's dream?
Pretty much.
I yes. should be that announcer.
So anyway, Allie, you do whatever it is you do. I'm going to be over here watching yo-yos.
I feel like we need to cut this short. We
She's
going
to do the showbiz for Ralph.
Absolutely. Oh, that's just good stuff. We've been talking a lot about the Olympics. It's not sounding great down there. We just talked to Steve Mason from ESPN Radio, who's doing a show down there. He said, no one's checking the credentials down there at Media Village.
That was a
that's
terrifying.
Concerning.
It's a bit of a shocker that there's very little security, he said.
I do not like that. Well, if you are going to watch the opening ceremonies tonight, don't expect to see a bevy of stars. Like, a lot of times they'll pan to the audience. You'll see Australia. Oh, wow, there's Nicole Kidman. And they're not showing up. Daniel
because
Craig is not going. Nicole Kidman is not going. David Beckham and several other high-profile athletes too afraid of contracting the Zika virus. They're not in.
Mm.
But I found this interesting. Prince Harry, Prince William, and Duchess Kate. Nope. Not interested at all. And Prince Harry is a huge sports fan, so
right.
I thought maybe he'd at least go to watch some of that. But they
but
will
Zika.
Not be there at all. But who will be there? Kicking off the opening ceremony tonight, along with 6,000 samba dancers, Gisele Bündchen.
Okay.
All right.
So she'll be there. And if you'd like to check out other Brazilian models like Adriana Lima and Alessandra Ambrosio, they will be doing culture correspondent reports for NBC covering the games. NBC is not stupid.
No, they're not.
That is a smart... smart move
yeah.
for them right there.
Is Gisele bringing her husband? Because he has nothing to do till October,
right?
That is hurtful and...
true.
Not true. He is staying in tip-top condition.
Right, he can do that
and
there,
he
though.
Will be ready for week 5.
All right.
President Obama, big birthday party last night. Among those that were scheduled to attend, Beyonce, Jay-Z, Kendrick Lamar, Usher, Stevie Wonder, Ellen DeGeneres,
wow.
Anna Wintour, Magic Johnson, and Alonzo Mourning.
Wow.
Thought that was an interesting last one. And Alonzo
strange.
Mourning. But that's quite a who's who right there.
Look, if you're the president, and Kevin, we've talked about this,
mm-hmm.
why not?
This is all I would
right.
do.
Yeah.
Yes,
you,
parties, screenings, everything.
Who do
yes.
I love?
Yep.
All right, invite him to the White House. No one says no.
Especially at this point when he's got nothing else
oh, yeah.
going on.
I got the feeling yesterday. I had his press conference on from the Pentagon yesterday. Mm-hmm. And he must have been up there for like 2 hours on his birthday. And I was thinking, this is a guy who is really going to enjoy his last few months in office.
Yeah.
Because he can do whatever he wants. Then he leaves today on a 2-week vacation in Massachusetts.
Martha's
Vineyard, yeah. Yeah.
Speaking of, we all saw last week Malia Obama at Lollapalooza acting like an 18-year-old,
yeah.
enjoying the show, dancing, singing along with her friends. Well, now you can spot 15-year-old sister Sasha, who's been working at a seafood restaurant called Nancy's on Martha's Vineyard. So she's up there at the counter. She's going by her full name, Natasha. So in case you're like, wait, is that Sasha Obama? No, it says Natasha. It can't be her. But apparently, people are very confused. When she first started there, employees were like, I'm sorry, why are half a dozen people helping out this lady, and why are all these dudes in suits standing outside?
Yeah, I was wondering if the Secret Service just has to sit in the parking lot all day.
They have to Secret Service has to wait outside, and I just find it so funny that if they didn't tell other employees, like, hey, we're going to be kind of coddling this one over here, in case you're wondering why we're being so helpful. Wouldn't
weird.
You be bummed if you were like Jesse and that was your summer job and you're like, why does she get all the good shifts? That's how Jesse talks.
I like Jesse.
Yeah, Jesse's
it would be hilarious,
a slacker, but she's a good kid.
If the Secret Service sits at a table in the restaurant, but they, like Kevin said, they insist mm-hmm. that they order something because they can't take up space
unless
they're eating.
You can't sit here if you're not eating.
Amazing.
Get out.
I'm sorry, you're going to have to order another sandwich.
And they're just sitting there in full suits.
For 8 hours.
With their earpieces. Oh, my God. If you are on Martha's Vineyard, please go to Nancy's.
That's a good
check it out.
For
yeah.
people in Los Angeles to hear.
Oh, because no one listens anywhere else?
Some do online. Okay. But do you think there's people in Martha's Vineyard that
you
are going to go by?
You know who's on Cape Cod right now? Jim Rome.
Oh, good plan.
And he listens to the show via podcast every day.
I don't think that's true at all.
He does not, but yeah, for a second, maybe you believed it.
Lie.
Right?
It's true, Rodney. I apologize. Bean, are you interested in Bob Weir's first solo album in more than 30 years?
I am very much, yes.
I knew you would be.
Well, I'm a huge Grateful Dead fan. And absolutely. I'm looking forward to it.
Well, it is coming out September 30th. It is called Blue Mountain. And he's going to go out on a short tour mid-October. Would you leave the house for that?
Probably not. We're solo? Probably not.
We're solo. Okay. But my God, how many songs? It's been more than 30 years. How many songs has he been writing?
Well, he's used a lot of them for the Grateful Dead.
So probably he's got like a couple.
Yeah.
So three. Mm-hmm. So three songs.
Three songs.
He'll be fine.
It's a short tour. Very short concert even.
Good times. Hey, these people are celebrating their birthday today. August the 5th. Maureen McCormick is 60. That is Marcia Brady,
mm-hmm.
for you kids out there that don't know. She's great. Actor Jesse Williams from Grey's Anatomy is 35, and athlete Lolo Jones is turning 34. I'm Allie McKay, and for Ralph Grumman, walking the showbiz beat.
Bean, you're going to have to stop watching the World Yo-Yo Championships.
But I don't want to miss the next act,
I know.
Though.
I understand.
The next guy might bring it. You don't know, man.
Bean told us first thing this morning this was happening. It's in Cleveland, and there's a live stream of the World Yo-Yo Championship.
Yeah. Seven different types of yo-yoing going on. Competitors from all over the world. What did we say? Something like over 1,000 people at the thing, at the event?
Yeah, I don't know. I wasn't paying that close attention.
Okay. Hey, this hour on the Kevin Bean Show, actress Mila Kunis. Also, how about a pair of Disneyland Resort Deluxe Annual Passes or Park Hopper Passes to Disneyland and Disney's California Adventure Parks? We got them for you this morning on the Kevin Bean Show. In fact, in the next 15 minutes, we've got that for you on the Kevin Bean Show, or maybe 30. And all weekend long here on the world-famous K-Rock. You can go to K-Rock.com for more information. And another chance to win as well.
Here's what's wrong with the Olympics. Some really bad sports in there, and really not very interesting stuff. And there's a lot of stuff that could be put in there in its place. Dressage is one thing.
All right, now let me stop you right there.
Yes.
And ask. Mm-hmm. You say a lot of bad sports in the Olympics.
Dressage.
And I agree with you.
Okay.
Why do these sports stay in the Olympics decade after decade after decade if most people think they're bad? I can't imagine the ratings are very good for them. When they it seems like they do have a pattern of eliminating sports. Why are some of these still in 100 years later?
I can't imagine. The dressage, for those of you that don't recognize the word, it's the horses doing the high step.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, seriously.
I feel like the horses are doing most of the work in that instance.
That's just dumb.
I mean, I feel like, honestly, and I'm not joking about this, if you're going to have dressage in the Olympics, you should have people doing tricks on tractors, too. It's the same thing. It's a guy who's making move a bigger object than he's sitting.
Well,
I'd watch it.
A tractor
I'd
is
watch
a little different than a horse. A horse is unpredictable. It's an animal, you guys.
Right,
a tractor is a machine
that
you can make do things.
Right, but we're talking about watchability. Are you going to watch the horse's eyes?
I don't think you understand how serious horse people are about things horses.
Right.
And I also want to ask you about the what's the one we always forget the name of? The one where you ski and then shoot. What's that called?
Triathlon? I don't know.
Biathlon.
Biathlon.
Okay. That is not a thing that exists in the world.
Yeah, that's usually – that's in the Winter Olympics, but that's one of them that makes zero sense.
That makes zero sense because there's nobody in the world who is skiing and shooting. So why should a sport exist only once every 4 years for the – in that case, the Winter Olympics? It's not a real sport. It's just two things that are separate. Look, if you want to have skiing in the Olympics in the wintertime, you should. If you want to have shooting in the Olympics, you that's fine. But why would you invent something, put it together, and still keep it in the Olympics when there's so many things, as you pointed out, that aren't in the Olympics?
You know what they need to do is add beer to that one. Now you got something.
Oh.
You ski, you drink, you shoot.
I don't like that.
I love. Then you would watch it, though, wouldn't you?
Maybe.
I'm going to suggest a sport that I would watch all the way through, and that is dodgeball. I'm not kidding. That would be awesome.
Yes.
Dodgeball.
Yes.
Can you imagine?
That would be so cool.
Can you imagine being on the Olympic dodgeball team? I would just think that would be all the bullies from grade school,
but,
right?
And would, go into would it be like, would you have it exactly how dodgeball is played? Or would you add things like, okay, then one of the balls is going to be a ball that explodes with confetti and that's like 30 points. Would you add different elements?
Interesting.
Right?
I don't know. That's a good point.
That would be amazing. So there's this element of surprise the whole time you're watching.
Chip yesterday suggested a ball with dog poop in it.
Yes, a poop ball.
So instead of catching it, which you should do, you have to avoid that one.
Yes.
I'm just saying, if you want more people to watch,
I'm watching that all day.
You take out the high-stepping horses and you put in the dodgeball.
The International Olympic Committee agreed this week to add five sports to the Olympic Games in Tokyo 2020. So, next Olympics, next summertime Olympics, we will see baseball and softball.
Now, baseball used to be in the Olympics.
That's right.
For the longest time, right? And then
they pulled it out, put it back in.
All right.
Karate will be in the Olympics.
Okay.
Skateboarding will be in the Olympics. Now, that's probably a combination of recognition that it is a sport that will survive, a sport that has a long history of people doing amazing things and continuing to get better, and probably also a plea toward, hey, let's get younger people into
the
sport.
Yeah, and people will watch it.
Yeah.
Because they saw what the X Games did, and they thought, oh, let's get a piece of that. All right, so baseball, softball, karate, skateboarding, surfing, fine.
Yep.
Summer Olympic surfing?
That's tough, though,
I don't mind
the
it.
Elements.
Not in Brazil.
Yeah, that's
not in that ocean.
And how about this one? Sports climbing.
What?
Like rock climbing?
It just says sports climbing. I don't know what the specifics are of how that would work.
Huh.
Is that just they've seen that on American Ninja Warrior, so they said, oh, that looks hard to do. Let's put that in the Olympics?
Dave says it's like rock climbing.
Okay.
Now, sports climbing. There again, I don't feel like that's going to help.
I also don't feel like it's a sport. I feel like it's a hobby.
Yeah. I mean, it's difficult, but that doesn't mean it's a sport.
Yeah,
I don't think that that's a sport.
Unless there's two competitors and they're climbing to the top and it's a race.
And you can drag the other one down.
Yes.
Yes.
You can do anything you want to the other guy.
Yes.
You punch him.
Oh,
whatever.
I like it.
See, that would be awesome.
Okay. What about cornhole?
I'm sorry?
Cornhole.
I read you that. Is that what you're talking about?
No, the game with the beanbags.
Oh, that's very different than what I just was thinking.
Is it not called cornhole?
Well,
okay.
I'm not positive.
I think there's two meanings to that word.
I would like you to look up cornhole. Tell us if that's what you want in the Olympics. Because that's a very different Olympic sport than I think you're thinking of.
We want to take calls. We thought it might be fun because the opening ceremonies, right? You see that?
She just realized what it may be.
The opening ceremony is tonight. In living color on 4-hour tape delay, by the way, from when it begins in Rio. But we want to hear from you in honor of this Olympics this year. What sport would you like to see in the Olympics that's not in the Olympics? What would be fun? What is something that you would never stop watching because you would be so excited that they're playing it at the Olympics?
I posted something yesterday that that I think would be great, and I named it Head Pong. And it's these guys on a ping pong table.
That's amazing.
And they've got like a – it's not a volleyball.
It's like a mini tetherball.
Yeah, it's a mini tetherball, but they're hitting it with their heads, and they're playing on a ping pong table. Now, I know that sounds dumb, but if you watch it, I mean, that would be the greatest thing in the Olympic Games.
Yeah.
Is it a sport?
Yes.
I think so, yeah. You need to see this video. They are going at it.
I'm telling you, head pong is the answer.
I will
it's
look at that.
It's also a rental that you don't want necessarily.
Is that different from cornhole?
I'm right now looking at cornholing videos. So. 1-800-520-1067.
Kickball.
What's the sport that's not in the Olympics that you would like to see in the Olympics? 1-800-520-1067. Kickball? You want kickball and dodgeball?
Sure.
What about tetherball?
I'd watch tetherball, too.
That'd be pretty cool. You love
balls. Kevin does love balls. All right. Weston is already mad at us. He's in Covina.
What?
He's online, too. Apparently, we have run afoul of Weston and his sports climbing friends.
Uh-oh. Weston?
Hey, Kevin, Bean, Allie. How you doing?
We are good. What are you mad about?
Hey, I want to say sport climbing is a legit sport.
Okay.
So how is it a sport?
So what you do is they set a really hard route, so it's actually incredibly difficult to climb up this thing.
Right.
You're climbing with the rope on the ground, so your fall factor is somewhat dangerous, so
okay.
There could be a good fall.
Right.
And you're doing it based on time, but there's also form and technique that's put into it. So if you go up and you skip a clip, per se, then you get docked points.
But, Weston, here's what I'm going to say. I'm going to say that it's super athletic, and it's probably super difficult, but I don't see it being super watchable.
What would be pretty watchable is what Mountain Hardware is doing right now with Piss PsyComp, whatever, where they're literally doing this over a giant pool in Vail.
Okay.
So if you fall, you fall into a refreshing pond?
What if it's lava? We change it to lava.
Yes, see, now we're talking. What if there's two people and they fight, Weston? What about that?
What about Kevin's idea where they fight on the way up?
I mean, fighting on the way up would be pretty cool, but how challenging these routes already are, it'd be near impossible.
I don't think it's a sport. I don't see how it's a sport. It looks like it's something you would do on the weekend for exercise is what it looks like to me. It doesn't look like a sport.
It is one of the fastest growing recreational activities right now.
But it's a recreational activity.
People are turning it into a sport. They're making it more than a recreational activity.
All right. How about this?
I don't think we're making any headway.
What if you compete against a monkey?
Oh, I'm in.
Yeah.
See, now I'm in.
Now it's man versus beast. Now you can give me something to root for.
Maybe an animal without an opposable thumb, though.
I think you
want it to be fair.
I don't know.
Your money would be on the monkey?
No, my money's on the humans above the monkey.
Oh, take it easy, Weston.
All right.
You're not that good.
Way too into this sport.
Hell, that guy's crazy.
Thank you for the call. 1-800-520-1067. Let's do one more before the break. Real quick, just because Daniel in Anaheim, I think, has got it. I think he's got the winner.
All right. Daniel, hi.
Hi. So just one thing. Being your stubborn old mule for not accepting that it is a sport. Totally is a sport. But paintball. Paintball.
Okay, I didn't understand a single word you said before paintball.
All right.
Okay, so paintball. Okay. Paintball is
the important word here, though. What about paintballing as an Olympic sport?
Okay, one, you get 7-on-7 guys shooting each other. The balls go over 300 feet per second, 20 balls a second. You're getting people, like, kind of injured on live television.
Right.
Paint blowing everywhere.
Okay. I don't know that it has to be. Not that kind of
what?
He said
there's a bunch of balls.
Dudes.
All right, Daniel. We will take it under consideration, but as of now, we will not allow it. Thank you for the call. Your call, Dan. What do you want to see in the Olympics besides dressage? We're taking that out. What are we replacing it with? Your call right after this on K-Rock.
A lot of our listeners have suggestions at the ready on what should be added to the Olympics once we dump dressage or something else dumb.
Let me run a couple by you, and then we'll go back to the calls at 1-800-520-1067. We're hearing from people on the Kevin Bean Facebook page and on Twitter, and they're texting it to the number 2KROQ. Kyle writes in, lacrosse should be added to the boring-ass Olympics. Anyone a lacrosse fan?
No.
It's a legitimate sport, though, with a history that people play that are very good. Martin says, what about competitive eating?
Oh.
No? All right. And Lori, pole dancing should be in the Olympics.
Okay, yes.
It is not easy.
Oh, sorry.
And very gymnastic.
Yes.
So pole dancing.
What about what Daniel said? He would love to see Olympic Kevining.
That's a great
idea.
That's a great idea.
It's got to go there.
All right. Let's go to the phones. Let's try Henry and Silmar to get us going. He's on line 8. Now, again, we're talking about the sport that you sincerely wish were in the Olympics that you would watch because it's dynamic and it's exciting and it's going to replace something lame. So
I think that's the point that Henry might be missing is that it's not just a replacement, but it's a watchable replacement.
Okay.
It's an upgrade.
Right.
Henry, what are you calling to recommend?
A horseshoe.
Henry.
Hey, what is that? I mean, sounds like a good idea. I mean,
Would you watch Olympic horseshoeing?
I would.
Oh,
no, you're bad.
Henry.
Okay. All right. Horseshoeing is what he's saying.
Rejected. No.
Let's try Kevin in Huntington Beach. He's on line six. You know we have a bad track record of guys named Kevin, but maybe he'll surprise us. Maybe he'll come up with an idea that's awesome.
Hey, Kevin.
I'm here to try my Olympic Kevin-y.
All right. What's your suggestion?
Tug of war. Yeah, it used to be an Olympic sport, actually.
Oh, how about that?
Really?
Yeah.
Now, I don't know, unless you add some kind of danger to it, like at least lava pit from before.
If they fall in acid.
Right, if they fall in acid.
Something in the middle.
Right.
Maybe a pool full of something.
Right.
Alligators. Yeah. I wonder why they took tug of war out of the Olympics if it used to be in there.
Yeah, I really don't know. I just know there's two other.
I don't know. I feel like in tug of war, a lot of times they don't really move. So you just are watching people like mime having a fight and it doesn't really go either direction.
I don't know that I would watch that. One by one, they fall off and they just fall in the acid. No?
All right. As long as they fall in the acid, we're all in. Thank you, sir.
Fall in the acid.
All right. Let's try Tyler, line four. He's in L.A.
All right. Hi, Tyler.
Hey, what's going on, Party People?
Talking about sports you would watch in the Olympics if they were in it.
Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu.
Jiu-Jitsu.
100%.
All right.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. So judo's been in for a long time, right? And they're adding karate.
Mm-hmm.
But jiu-jitsu.
Why are they adding karate?
I'm not in the Olympics.
We're not doing it, Tyler.
Take it easy. We're not responsible.
You're coming at us pretty hard.
Take it easy, Tyler.
Come on.
Keep it playful, Tyler. That was a little Gracieism right there for you. See what I did?
Guys, what about MMA? What about MMA in the Olympics? We've seen some of the greatest athletes we watch on a regular basis in UFC. What about if they made that an Olympic sport?
I guess, but then what's the difference? Because the MMA, every single time a champion fights, it's a championship fight.
Yeah.
Right. So this would be people from around the world who aren't in the UFC. You know, you'd be going against other people. I mean, look. Okay. Let's try Yucaipa's Barbara, line three. I think you guys might be behind this. I'm not sure.
Hey, Barbara.
Hi. How are you?
Good. Thank you.
So, competitive cheerleading.
Competitive cheerleading.
100%.
All right. I know we will get a lot of criticism if I suggest that it is not a sport.
Oh, you're crazy if you say it's not a sport.
I'm not saying it's not difficult. I don't think it's a sport.
Okay. Go ahead, Barbara. I was prepared,
or I was told to be prepared.
Okay.
So basically, next year they are actually making it a sport. It'll be a CIF sport in high school. And, I mean, can you imagine what these people do? They don't just lift weights. They don't just lift things. They lift people over their heads, fly to catch them in handstands. I mean, they just do really unbelievably cool things. Google California All-Stars. Check it out. Tell me what you think. It's expensive if you're a mom, but it's really awesome to watch.
All right.
I would watch it 100%. I watch that when I see it on ESPN, I stop and I watch it and I'm amazed at what these young ladies
and men do. But you've got nowhere to go and nothing to do, Allie. You have time to watch competitive cheerleading on television.
Bean, watch the documentary. Bring It On.
Yeah.
You'll love it.
It is a documentary. You're right.
Documentary.
Well, along with competitive cheerleading, here's a sport I would like to see.
Okay.
And maybe you don't think it's a sport, but how black colleges do the stomping.
Yeah.
The frats and everyone.
Stomp the yard?
Yeah, like stomping. Yeah. Dave's stomping right now. It's not good, but it
would
be
better.
Right?
I think I would watch that.
See, what's the difference between that and competitive cheerleading?
They're not
stomping. Neither should be in the Olympics.
Bean's not even in on stomping.
How about drumline while we're talking about it? Why don't just put drumline in the Olympics?
No.
All right. Let's go to Andrew, line one. He's in Thousand Oaks. Let's see what Olympic sport he would like to see as part of the competition every 4 years.
Hey, Andrew.
Hey, morning, guys. I would like to see the beer mile.
Oh, I like the beer mile. I like that.
The beer mile.
Yeah.
Yeah. You chug a beer, you run a quarter mile, and every quarter mile, you chug another beer.
I like it. See, now that I would watch.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. I think we'll allow it. That's a great one. Thank you for the call. All right. How about Jeff, Santa Clarita, line six? By the way, isn't it crazy as we take these calls how many sports there are?
Yeah. Yes. And none of them are head pong. Look it up on the Kevin and Bean Instagram account, at Kevin and Bean. Head pong is the greatest thing ever, and you would watch every second of it. Jeff in Santa Clarita. Hi.
Hey. So I would say parkour would be a decent sport for the Olympics.
Oh, I'd watch that.
I mean,
I think I'd watch that.
Incredibly difficult, and it's incredibly competitive. That's for sure.
Would they be considered routines, and they both have to do the same thing, and they're judged on the same set of criteria?
Well, I actually spoke to my friend about this a couple years back, but what we discussed would be you'd either have competitive, so races basically, mm-hmm. points on style.
Yeah.
You also obviously have to finish. Can't just go jumping off walls and stuff
right.
waste your time. Or the other one would be still style, but you'd be timed and you'd have to do as much as you can within the time limit and still make it to the finish line.
I'd watch it.
And I think I'd watch that.
They do have freestyle skiing events in the Winter Olympics, right? They could do parkour if they
yeah,
want.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yes, then I'm in.
All right.
And apologies, it's called stepping, not stomping.
Oh, what I only knew Stomp the Yard.
No, the fraternities that do it, it's stepping.
Okay.
Let's do one more. Kevin, do you want to do Frank on line 3 or Richard on line 7? Who's our big closer?
Well, I think we can handle Frank and go to Richard. Beer pong, I'm in.
All right. Beer pong is in then.
Uh-huh.
Richard in Irvine. Hi.
Hi, how's it going, guys?
Good.
Long-time listener.
Thank you.
Just listen to you guys. I think what they should do is take two different events and make it into one event. For example, taking karate and matching it up with, like, ping pong and figuring out that they have to match those together and make that an event and see this every time. So that way you can have there's so many different ways you can do it. If you have
when you play ping pong, there's a table between the two of you. How are you going to add karate to that?
I'm just giving suggestions. That's what the pick people have to figure the logistics part of it.
the athletes show up and they have a hat and they pull two sports out of the hat and then on the spot they've got to combine them. So it could be pole vaulting and trampoline. You don't know what the two are going to be.
Absolutely. Now, if you want to go aggressive, yeah, for sure. Like, at the day of or a couple of days. If you want to give them a little bit of a leeway, you can do it a couple of months before, a year before. But you want to have that element of surprise.
I like it.
They're like, what the heck? We got to do it, though.
I don't think we're ever going to beat ping pong and karate together. I'll tell you that, though. That's the winner.
That's the winner right there.
Great call, Richard. Thank you. Give you your chance to win tickets to go see Radiohead at the Shrine coming up just after 9 o'clock this morning on KROQ. And then we'll talk to ESPN LA's Steve Mason live from Rio, where the Olympics are happening. It's been a long time since we had Mila Kunis on the show, you guys, but she is back. She's on the phone. Her film is called Bad Moms. It is in theaters right now. Hey, Mila, how you been?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Very good. Thank you.
Good to talk to you again. Yeah. Are you super pregnant right now? We're not in any danger of saying the wrong thing and making a baby happen, are we?
No, I don't foresee myself going into labor while on this call.
Okay, good.
And
good.
Can you do that, Bean, just by something you say?
Well, that's my fear, is that somehow we'll be blamed, whether we had anything to do with it or not. If she goes into labor while she's on the call with us, somehow it'll be our fault.
I don't think Bean understands how it works.
Awesome. Like, I go into labor during the Kevin Bean show. Like, that'd be pretty awesome.
I mean, as long as you're cool with that, yes.
I would be pretty excited, though I don't foresee that happening.
Would you name either the child either Kevin or Bean if it happened?
Oh, yeah. No, but by the way, I'm in the car with the family going on a baby excursion, and my husband goes, please don't go into labor.
Yeah, no kidding. Now, I don't want to jinx anything, Mila, but we have had, we've been doing this show for a long time. We have had people who have been pulled over and gotten tickets while they were doing interviews with us. We had, I can't remember who it was, we had one person who got into an accident while they were on the phone with us, and I felt terrible about that. But at least you're not driving, right?
I'm not driving. No. So I feel like I'm really safe right now.
Okay. Well, let's talk Bad Moms. It was released last weekend, and I saw the trailers for this, starting a couple months ago, and I thought, that looks really funny, but had no idea that the guys who wrote and directed this movie are the guys behind The Hangover. Like, in a million years, I never would have put those two franchises together.
Yeah, it's great. They wrote it, as a love letter to their wives, so... The movie's really funny and has the same humor as The Hangover, but it's very much rooted in the respect and love that they have for the women that raise their kids.
And being a mom is a terrible job or the greatest thing in the world, or both?
Or both, yeah.
It's both. It's definitely both. I mean, I gotta say, I love it. I really do. And I think all moms will tell you it's incredibly gratifying and wonderful and everything you ever wanted to be in more, but then there are those moments where you literally are like, I can't deal with this little gremlin in my house. I just have to walk away for a minute.
Well, that's where the wine comes in.
Exactly.
Unless you're pregnant. So I have a clip from the movie, and it seems like you've come to the exact same conclusion in this particular clip, and you come up with an idea.
We're killing ourselves trying to be perfect, and it's making us insane.
In this day and age, it's impossible to be a good mom.
Screw it. Let's be bad moms.
Oh, I'm in.
Right?
Oh, my gosh. Okay, this is exciting. I'm in.
Yes, to bad moms.
It's so weird that somebody would just come up with a suggestion and everybody's like, that's what we've been waiting for our whole lives.
Keep in mind, they're all really shammered right now.
So yeah.
Right.
They were, you know, a couple bottles deep. They're like, this is the best idea ever.
Have you found, and a lot of my friends have found this, that have recently had babies, like in the last 5 years, other moms are so judgy about what they're doing right and what they're doing wrong.
Yeah, it's everywhere.
What is that?
Noise. It's just lots of noise. I think that, you know, you find your tribe and you find your group of women that have the same point of view as you do and have the same respect for one another, and you stick with that. But I would stay off the internet because it's just ugly out there. I think it's just oversaturation of information. I mean, I really do think that's what it boils down to, and everyone thinks that they know more than the next person. Mm-hmm.
But then you look at their kids and you go, okay, I don't want my kids to turn
kids
out
are
that way.
Jacked.
I know. It's to each their own. Like, when I got pregnant, the amount of information and advice I was given by random women, where they were like, you need heated wipe holders. And I was like, no, my child's butt will be perfectly fine with a little wet wipe.
Right. I gotta tell you, I'm making a note right now. I think I need those.
Well, it sounds delightful for us. But.
This is the voice of actor Mila Kunis here on the Kevin Beach Show. We're talking about her film that's everywhere in theaters right now. It is called Bad Moms. Our friend Kristen Bell is also in this, and comedy legend Katherine Hahn. I can't imagine how fun that set would be just with the three of you, not to mention all the other people that are in it that are so funny.
I love these women so much, so much. I can honestly say that, and it's such a rarity. You know, we're all moms. We all went to work. We all, you know, showed up, worked really hard, but all wanted to be home for dinner with our kids. And so it created for an incredible work environment where everybody just kind of hustled and did the best they could, and nobody messed around. And it was awesome. It was great. On the weekends, we all would go to the zoo or whatever. It was great.
Because you're so used to multitasking, you just do it a lot better.
It's true. My God, by now I'm a master at it. Great.
All right. I want to ask you one non-movie thing, Mila, because your husband, Ashton, was on Shark Tank this season and invested what seemed like a lot of your guys' actual real money. And I was a little bit concerned about, I mean, we're talking hundreds of thousands of dollars he put into some of these companies. I'm wondering if you have any kind of update on how that investment has turned out for him.
You want me to ask?
Yeah, sure.
Please do.
How was your Shark Tank investment? How did it turn out? Which one, he's asking?
Which one? Any.
The baby bottle one or the handboard one, either one.
The baby bottle one or the handboard. Both companies are doing very well.
All right.
The summer's hit. So slide handboards are moving a lot of units.
Okay. All right.
We're working very hard on getting a lower price point.
Hey, this is a very weird way to do an interview, and B, I feel like you two haven't talked about this yet.
Here, hold on one sec, hold on.
Hello?
Hey, Ashton, when you went on that show, did your wife say, okay, here's the limit on how much you're allowed to invest if somebody comes up with a wackadoodle idea that catches your fancy?
No, here's the thing. She was the one who wanted me to go on the show in the first place.
What?
Because the show's on Friday nights, which is when I shoot The Ranch. And so she's at home, like, watching Shark Tank, and I come home. She's like, you have to go on this. And I'm like, I don't know if I want to, like, and she's like, no, go. I'm telling you, they've got genius stuff. And so then I end up on the show investing in a fake man boob.
Okay. And all right. How are the fake man boobs doing?
They're great. They just got a great distribution deal with Bye Bye Baby.
Sure.
And they're really kicking butt.
Moving a lot of units.
Okay. All right. Listen.
There you go.
I was just worried. I was just worried because I know, you know, like Kevin goes out and gambles away their fortune. I was just worried that you were losing the family money. That's all. So everything's cool with you. I'm glad to hear it.
The family money. The family money. You're acting like there's any left. It's gone. Here's the wife back. Hold on.
All right. Thanks for the update, Ashley. We appreciate
Hello.
It. Hi. All right. Thank you for – we're very concerned that he shot everything, so I'm glad it worked out.
No, we're safe. We're so far so good, you guys.
Okay, good. All right. Well, the movie looks really, really fun, you guys. It's called Bad Moms. It's in theaters everywhere, and I know that moms and anyone who enjoys comedy is going to enjoy it. So go see it. Mila, have a great weekend. Thanks so much for coming back
Thank
on the Kevin
you.
And Bean Show. We enjoyed it.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys.
Thanks. Bye-bye. Now. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:52.
That Mila Kunis is adorable, you guys.
Yeah,
that
she's the best.
Might have been my favorite thing ever.
I do love her.
Her going back and forth, asking the questions, and then you just hear, moving a lot of units.
Yeah. So good.
It's good to get that update, wasn't it?
It was.
It was.
All right. Friday morning. Ralph will be back on Monday, by the way, for those who are wondering. In the meantime, Allie's filling in on the Showbiz Beat. What's going on? What's new?
I saw this story, and I just thought, oh, wow. Police have a lot on their plates.
Right.
A lot to deal with. But then when they get a call to respond to reports of an armed man, you freak out a little bit.
Yeah, Toronto that's police. That's panic time.
Yeah. Tweet an alert stating a man with a firearm had been spotted and cops were securing the area. And then within minutes, police revised the alert because it turned out the person with the gun was actually just a cardboard cutout of Arnold Schwarzenegger as his Terminator character.
Oh, man.
I mean, people.
A good tip.
Well did you. Somebody
called in and said,
but did somebody
oh my God.
Put a cardboard stand up in a place to make it look like there was a guy with a gun? I mean, it was in a public place?
Yes.
It's weird.
All right. Let's move on, shall we? Bean, you love Othello. Am I right?
The Shakespeare play?
Yes.
I mean, I guess it's good.
I felt like you said at one point it was your favorite, and I thought it was so odd.
I don't think so. I don't think that was me. That was probably Kevin.
It was
if I know
probably
Kevin.
Yeah.
Sounds like it would
have
been Kevin.
Here's where I think Kevin would be into it. If you were going to go see Othello on Broadway or off Broadway, you probably wouldn't go just to see the Shakespeare play.
Right.
You would instead want to see it as maybe a hip hop version.
I'd want to see that.
Right? John Leguizamo, who right there you're in.
Yes.
He's producing Othello, the remix by the Q Brothers, an 80-minute high-energy version of Shakespeare's play. It premiered at London's Globe Theater, and now it opens just off-Broadway at the West Side Theater on November 17th. I would see that in a second.
Interesting.
Yes.
I wouldn't go, but interesting.
Okay.
It's interesting.
All right. Well, we've talked a lot about the Olympics. I think that last segment was one of my favorites about what sports you would want to see in the Olympics. We had everything from Kevining to dodgeball to I think that guy's mashup idea was the best.
Ping pong and karate.
At
I don't
the
understand
same time.
How it would work, but he said that's for other people to figure out.
Yeah, but if maybe you're not so into the Olympics, you're not going to watch all weekend long, you're not going to watch tonight, I have some alternative programming for you. The Kitten Summer Games will be starting on the Hallmark Channel. No, but it's kitties.
Meow.
Yeah, Rodney's in. Kitten Summer Games on the Hallmark Channel. Nope.
Nope.
Oh, see? Beer mug.
Nope.
No? Okay. What about Saturday? In case you missed last week, there's a Sharknado Marathon. It's going to be starting at 11 a.m. on Sci-Fi and running all four movies, finishing with Sharknado, The Fourth Awakens, beginning at 5 p.m.
The sequel to the sequel of the sequel to the greatest movie about sharks and tornadoes that's ever existed. Sharknado, The Fourth Awakens.
See? That's Saturday. Okay, Sunday. You're in for this. The Sci-Fi Channel is presenting Two Lava, Two Lantula, a sequel to the original Lavalantula movie from last year. Right?
I think I'm in.
I think you're in, but when I tell you what it's about this year, I mean, you're gonna want it to become Sunday right now.
Okay.
Could have worded that better. The film is set in Georgia, but the Film is set in Florida.
What? What are you saying?
I'm having a stroke. The film is set in Florida.
Okay.
This time, a new nest of fire-spewing tarantulas is unleashed, along with the biggest, baddest of them all, Gargantulantula. Gargantulantula!
Gargantulantula. That sounds pretty good.
And it's also starring, of course, Steve Guttenberg.
All right.
The Goots is back, along with Michael Winslow. You know them both from Police Academy. No word about Ralph Garman. So I felt like he could have come back as a pirate Jack Ghost.
Sure.
Or even he could have.
I don't know that ghosts and giant spiders, I don't think you do them both in the same movie.
Oh, really? So the giant spiders that spew lava,
uh-huh.
You'll buy that, but not a ghost?
I would like it grounded in reality, please.
Wow. Gargantulantula.
I have a clip from the last Level Angela movie. I don't remember exactly what it is, but I think Ralph may be on this. This will give you an idea of the kind of quality you get in this series.
There's nowhere to hide. When those things want to find you, they will.
Who are you?
I am Dr. Eric von Strubel. I work here in the museum.
What are you still doing here?
I'm a scientist. For good or bad, these are the kind of moments that we live for.
You're not going to live for much longer if you stick around here, Doc.
There's Ralph.
Yes, I am acutely aware of that possibility. But I'm not done.
Mm. Done? Done with what?
Ooh. Right?
Right.
That was the La Brea Tar Pits.
Yeah, it was.
That's right. Now it's right. Florida.
All right.
Yeah.
I might be in for Lava Lunchula, too.
All right. This is just a funny story. And I think we've all done it in some shape or form. Maybe you're Jonah Hill. You want to slim down. You've just finished filming War Dogs. So you hire a nutritionist. You get a good eating plan. But the nutritionist says, I want to see a food journal. I want to know what you're eating, what time, so we can keep track of it. Very detailed. Well, then you go to email said doctor, the nutritionist, and you just put in your phone DR. And then you see what pops up. You're not really paying attention. So you
just hit send.
You hit send.
Yeah.
But it did not send that detailed food journal to your doctor.
DR did not stand for doctor?
DR stood for Drake.
So Drake got a journal of what he ate?
A food journal of Jonah Hill's, and he said it's now just one more person that he has to duck for the rest of his life because they barely know each other.
That is sort of weird.
Can you imagine you get like some email or text from Jonah Hill and it's like 6:30, bacon. Like, that would just be so weird.
That is odd.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love that story. We've all done it. All of these stars are celebrating a birthday today, August the 5th. Actor Jesse Williams from Grey's Anatomy is 35. Lolo Jones is 34. And Maureen McCormick is 60. I'm Allie McKay, and for Ralph Garman, welcome to Showbiz Beat.
All right, thank you, Allie. We have a pair of tickets for you to see Radiohead at the Shrine. I'll even tell you the game. It's just a second.
Ooh.
So call now, 1-800-520-1067. If you want to win those tickets, we'll do that right after the top of the hour.
We'll talk Rio Olympics with Steve Mason from the Mason and Ireland radio show on ESPN LA coming up in about 50 minutes. But that's not what you're listening for. You're listening to win tickets to go see Radiohead. They played last night at the Shrine. They're playing again on Monday. And we're going to give you some tickets with a game that we like to call Just a Second.
Just a Second!
All right. Lines are packed. Kevin, how's this game go?
We're going to play Just a Second
of a Radiohead song, and you just have to identify it.
Okay.
I feel like this could be very difficult.
Is it the first second?
Yes.
Or is it a random? It is the first second.
The first second, yeah.
All right. That's a good hint. And if you're right, you go into the drawing, and then somebody at the end wins the tickets to see the band Monday night. I like it. Who's our first contestant?
First, we have Andrew in Los Angeles. Hi, Andrew.
Hi. How's it going?
Good. Thank you. Are you ready for
Just a Second?
Yes, I'm ready.
All right, I'm going to play it for you twice. I'll play each clip for every single contestant twice, and then you have to guess. Here you go. Here's your second. All right, one more time.
Fake Plastic Trees.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, it is.
How about that?
Right?
Got one already. Nicely
good
done.
Start. Hey, Andrew, have you gotten through before this week to try to win Radiohead tickets?
No, it's first time.
First time, okay. Beginner's luck. Hang on, you are in the drawing, sir. Well done.
All right, let's go to Ben in West Hollywood. Hi, Ben.
Hey.
Are you ready for your Just a Second?
Yeah, let's go.
Play it twice. Here you go. One more time.
Oh, is it Burn the Witch?
Sorry, it's Optimistic. Thanks for the call. All right, let's go to Mike in Riverside. Hi, Mike.
Good morning.
Good morning. Are you ready?
Let's do it.
Give it to you twice. Here you go. One more time.
What is karma police?
You don't have to put it in the form of a question.
I appreciated it so much.
Yes, that is it. Yes, thank you.
He took karma police for $800 and it paid off for him. All right, well done. Mike is now in the drawing. Let's see who our next contestant is.
It is Shaylin in Los Angeles. Hi.
Hi.
Are you ready?
Yes.
In the form of a question?
A lot of confidence there, Shaylin.
So nervous.
All right, here you go. One more time.
High and dry?
Yes.
Wow. Right. These are Radiohead fans, you guys. All right. I like it.
We were worried yesterday we wouldn't get any.
Yeah.
Let's go to Clarissa in Pasadena. Hi.
Hi.
Hi. People are doing really well. How have you been doing on hold?
I've been doing well, but I'm extremely nervous.
Okay. Here's your second. I'm going to play it for you twice, okay?
All right.
Here you go. One more time.
That is Creep.
That is Creep. You may have gotten the easiest one. Congratulations. Yeah. Hold on. Let's go to Victor in Los Angeles. Hi, Victor.
What up?
We're doing
just a second
for Radiohead tickets. Are you ready?
All righty.
Here you go. One more time.
It's a Paranoid Android?
Yes.
Look at that.
You people know your stuff.
By the way, that's a great song. I want to give a shout-out right here in the middle of the game to our friend Ted Stryker, who played a whole hour of Radiohead yesterday, and it was amazing. You know, you take a band for granted that's been around for a long time.
Yeah, you do.
It's crazy how many great songs Radiohead has and how lucky you're going to be to win the tickets to see them Monday night if you do.
All right, let's go to Herman in North Hollywood. Hi, Herman.
Hey, how's it going?
Don't meet a lot of Hermans these days. I like it.
No, you don't.
I like it. I'm a fan. Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Good luck. We're going to play it for you twice. One more time.
They're there.
Wow, right? Nicely done. All right. How about one more?
Let's try Pablo in Los Angeles. Hi.
Hey, how are you?
We are good. You're our final contestant. Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Here you go. One more time.
Is it Burn the Witch?
Sorry, that's Body Snatchers.
Well, may I just say, Pablo, honey, I'm sorry you didn't win. But a lot of people
did. Straight to hell.
Nope. Andrew and Mike and Shaylin and Clarissa and Victor and Herman are all in the drawing. Someone's going to see Radiohead at the Shrine. It's the hottest ticket in town. Anna McKay, who's our winner, please?
The winner is Shaylin.
Yay!
Shaylin. Congratulations, Shaylin.
Thank you.
You got the tickets. Enjoy the show, and thanks for playing the game.
Just a second.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 9:38.
So you're telling me the only thing standing in the way of us singing Don't Bogart This Joint is Ellie McKay?
Yep.
Let's sing it. Let's do it.
By the way, Ellie did a great job filling in for Ralph.
Thanks, say that. Kevin.
Ralph's back
That's
on Monday.
That's very nice.
No, beats clapping. I'm the only one. Okay, here we go. Okay. No, excellent job, you know, for a girl. All right, time for our final look at the showbiz beat for the week. What's going on?
Dirty Rotten Scoundrels. You guys remember that movie?
That had Steve Martin in it?
Yes, and Michael Caine.
That's right.
It was from 1988, and it was two con men. They joined forces on the French Riviera to swindle a supposed heiress. Well, it's being rebooted. The Hollywood Reporter says that the new Dirty Rotten Scoundrels will feature two female scam artists who team up to swindle a tech prodigy out of his mega fortune. One of the female scam artists has been cast.
Okay.
Think of a funny lady that
Melissa,
you would
Melissa
want.
Melissa McCarthy.
No.
Oh.
But.
Oh. But what?
Same vein. Same type of person. Funny lady.
First of all, Randy?
No.
First of all, why are they ruining my childhood? What about all of the memories I have of Dirty Rotten Scoundrels? How can it possibly be redone with ladies?
It's just a cash grab, you guys.
That's all it is, man.
You're just ruining a franchise.
Kristen
Wiig? What? No.
What if we didn't guess and you
Okay, Rebel Wilson. Rebel Wilson.
We never would have gotten to Rebel Wilson.
Really?
I don't think so.
Oh. Well. That's one of them.
I like it. That's good.
I do, too. I want to find out who the other is.
Sure.
Sounds amazing. This is a strange story, and I feel like there should be better communication with this series. The Divergent series. You've seen those movies,
yeah, I love
Kevin.
Them.
You love them.
Yep.
Well, Miles Teller, who we know as the Miles Man, was reportedly taken a bit by surprise when he found out the next installment of the Divergent series might be a TV movie, saying, "We signed on for X amount of movies, and you take that all into consideration. We wanted to see that storyline finish. You know, it's moving into a different direction, so who knows?"
Hmm.
And Variety reports he's not the only one a little confused by the whole thing. Shailene Woodley said at Comic-Con that she hasn't decided whether or not she'd participate in the final film. She'd also been caught off guard by the news.
That's strange. It's a strange world where you learn that your movie is going to be a TV series.
Yes! And the final movie, Ascendant, was scheduled to begin filming this summer, but has been put off after Legion didn't do as well as expected at the box office. But I feel like if you're scheduled to film a movie and you're turning away other parts,
yeah,
that's not good.
They should let him know.
It's not
absolutely.
A deal,
yeah. It's very concerning. I don't like it. I don't like it strange. One bit. I would have liked, though, to have been at the White House for President Obama's 55th birthday.
Yeah, it's probably good to be Obama right now, don't you think?
Absolutely.
Because you always get a lot of hate, but he's not really doing anything important. You get the feeling?
Yeah.
Now?
Yeah.
So whatever. He's going to have a birthday party. He's going to invite everybody he wants.
Yeah, he did pretty well with this guest list. Beyonce, Jay-Z, Kendrick Lamar was invited, Usher, Ellen DeGeneres, Stevie Wonder, Vogue editor Anna Wintour, and basketball legends like Magic Johnson and Alonzo Mourning. That's a good party right there. And speaking of the Obama family, we saw Malia Obama make headlines last week. She was at the Lollapalooza Festival in Chicago enjoying herself. Well, her younger sister, Sasha, has a new job for the summer, at least for a couple more weeks. She is going to be working at a seafood restaurant called Nancy's on Martha's Vineyard. But the Secret Service agents have to wait outside during her shift.
And do they frisk everybody before they go in?
I would assume a lot has to be done,
yeah.
Right? And word is fellow employees had no idea who she was and couldn't figure out why half a dozen people were helping the new girl. But she is going by her full name, Natasha. So it kind of threw a few people off.
I feel like it sort of sucks to be them. To be the kid of a president.
Totally.
That would suck. Can't have anything normal ever.
No, remember the Bush twins? Like, one of them was having a beer, and it was, like, headline
news
for two
yeah.
weeks.
That would suck.
Who cares?
Buy your own damn fries.
Right.
Well, I don't know if Nancy's on the vineyard has fries, but something to look into. It is definitely something to look into. How long do I have to go on for? Can I just end it?
You can end it whatever
Let's
you want.
Let's end it, you
All
guys.
Right.
It's Friday. All these stars are celebrating a birthday today. Maureen McCormick is 60. Jesse Williams from Grey's Anatomy is 35. And Lolo Jones is 34. Ralph's back Monday. Yay.
Thank you, Allie.
Thanks.
Hey, on your drive home today, listen to the commercial-free 5 p.m. hour. A random act of helpfulness from the SoCal Helpful Honda dealer starts at 5 o'clock on the world-famous K-Rock. Have a great weekend. We'll see you Monday morning with Joe Buck.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me,
boss.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
You know what? I'm starting to agree with you, I'll tell you.
Roll another one.
His message is being a loudmouth
dick.
Just
like the other one.
I do what I want.
This one seems to be about to quit.
I should smack your smart mouth.
And I need another hit.
You do your best. You try to serve the people, and then they just f*** you over. And you know why? Because they're ignorant, and they're dumb as sh**. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is democracy.
Roll another one.
Keep on believing.
Just like
should read a book.
This one seems to be about to end.
That's my John.
And I don't have another cent.
This message is for beer mug. Shut up.
But don't bogart that joint.
You know nothing.
Just pass it around.
Walk On.
Mother of God. Well, so there you have it. Blah. So there you have it, K-Rock audience. And I don't think I screwed it up.
Wrong. What it is. To God be the glory. But that's what's good. We're going to holler back at y'all. All right, peace.
And so on behalf of everybody, I am sorry. I thought this could work out. It didn't. I'm going to have to ask you to leave.
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Thank you, Maestro. Beautifully done.